Just another Manic Monday. Last we left you, the Bernie and Sid, in the morning show here on 77 WABC. It was Thursday. And Bernie and I signed off on Thursday. We had Friday off. We were very excited about what was going to be Thursday night. Something I was contacted back in August about, waiting 4 months for this momentous occasion, this amazing event, this huge evening. So when we signed off on Thursday morning, and I saw Bernie around lunchtime, he was making his way to Staten Island for this event. I was making my way back home, got to get my kids from school, Danielle get home from work. And the plan was, here on this Manic Monday, to meet Thursday night at the Hilton on Staten Island to receive the very coveted Jack Newfield Award at the beautiful Teddy Atlas Foundation dinner. And you know what they say about the best laid plans, Bernie, right?
They go awry.
Yes, yes.
A-W-R-Y. You look it up, Jill.
So the next time you say, you tell me how much you love snow and snow in the city is great and it's beautiful, and every single time I tell you, shut up, it's not great, it's always a problem. And boy, well, I was never more right than I was on Thursday when basically three states shut down from 4 inches of snow.
Is that,
shut down.
Is that what you were thinking?
Oh, I was so angry
right
with
again.
You.
Right again!
No, I was so angry with you. Oh, it's beautiful. It's never beautiful. It's never great unless it's a Sunday morning and you're home.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that's not the case. It snows during the week. You got to get somewhere, and it's impossible. This city is the worst.
Well, that day was bad.
It's not just that day. It's every time.
It was a bad confluence of events that particular day.
Oh, my God. You sound like de Blasio. It was the perfect storm.
Listen, let me just say this. People, the weather forecasters, they have some blame.
They do. Bill Evans especially.
The weather forecasters, in that sense, de Blasio was right.
He actually named Bill Evans during his...
he put out a warrant for his arrest.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
no, he was blaming everybody. He was blaming Giuliani. He was blaming Maliotakis. He was blaming...
Bo Deedle?
John Lindsay did it. It was his policies.
I mean, I sat there on Friday, and I was just in a horrible mood. And I watched the whole press conference on New York One, all of it. Him, that creep Carranza, who is the head of the school, the chancellor, yeah. You know. And bunch of other people from agencies, you know. I pick up wood, I pick up trees, I wipe the ass of the sanitation men, whatever these people do. And he sat there and he blamed everybody but himself. Anytime somebody wanted to place any blame on the mayor, any blame at all, or the agencies, he got nuts.
He blamed Preet Bharara?
Yes, he did.
You name it.
Jesus. I think he blamed Jesus himself.
Don't look at me. He made it on time, by the way, to his workout, although that was a little earlier.
Oh, you had to hear me go. So you have to say, I'm in the car for over 4 hours. I go from the Upper West Side to the Lincoln Tunnel, which should take about 20 minutes. It took 4 hours, okay? So de Blasio goes, you know, listen, I was also inconvenienced. He goes, I left Gracie Mansion, and I had a big dinner, an important charity dinner. It usually takes me about 20 minutes to get to this dinner. It took me 45. Really? You had an extra 25 minutes.
Poor bastard.
I went 3 miles in 4 hours, and you had an extra 25 minutes. And he got there, by the way.
So you're not going to vote for him next time around?
I still may.
Anyway, listen to what
he has said. Nice sideburns.
In truth, this was a kind of perfect storm. It emerged bigger and later than anyone expected. I don't think it's fair to say that the city agencies could have stopped all of this. It's just, I'm not going to do that because I think that's just too convenient. You know, if people want to blame city agencies on something that they literally could not have stopped, I'm not going to be party to that.
No. It's not about one person or one agency. This is an extraordinary and unusual situation. If Wednesday night we had said, brace yourselves, massive storm, you all would have said, it's 1 to 2 inches predicted. Why are you crying wolf?
Am I frustrated? Do I want to make sure this never happens again? Absolutely.
Well, he's wrong, first of all. You could have done more. You prepare for the worst, hope for the best, forget about the criticism. Don't worry about what they're going to say. You could have laid down some salt prior to the snowstorm, whether or not it was... 1-inch prediction or a 6-inch prediction, And you could have closed schools a lot earlier, keep the school buses off the streets.
Right.
You could have done. There's a few things.
Well, he said he didn't get the real warning until 12:36. At that point, it was too late.
It was close enough where they should have said, well, you know what? It could just wobble a little bit to the left or whatever. This, you know how these weather things. He could have done. They should have done that. You prepare for the worst and hope for the best. They didn't do that.
He actually made a comparison to Amazon. Did you hear that?
I did not.
He goes, you know, and if I had sent out a full alarm and sent out 1,600 plows and canceled everything and blah, 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 you guys would have said I would have overreacted. Just like, by the way, if I let Amazon go to a different city or different state, you guys would have been upset about that. he found a way to weave Amazon into the snowstorm.
He's throwing it all in there.
Yes.
And look, they have the sanitation boss. Her name is Catherine Garcia. Look, for me, I want my sanitation boss to actually have hauled garbage cans at some point in his life.
Right.
To have thrown them. I want the guy to be some fat bastard with a frumpy suit that knows what the hell he's doing.
Kevin James, basically.
That's who I want. Yeah. Kevin James, about 20 years older. And, you know, just like with a stubble face. I don't want Catherine Garcia.
No.
For whatever that means.
Well, what does that mean?
That's part of the incompetence.
See, you were able to get from, like, for example, Dennis Hamill, the New York Daily News writer. He left Brooklyn. He was able to get to Staten Island. You were able to get there from other places.
Arthur Idala, for example.
Same thing.
I think Bay Ridge is where his office
is. Right, Bay Ridge to Staten Island. The Gothels had a long traffic problem and the Verrazano Bridge, but it was open.
The Bayonne was closed. The Bayonne and the George Washington Bridge both closed.
Well, that was the killer for me. You could not get out of the city because they closed the GW Bridge. There was a three-hour delay, Gothels-Verrazano. So the only way to get out was the Lincoln Tunnel. And we sat there for 3 hours and never made it inside the tunnel.
No, it was horrendous. There were some kids were stuck in school buses for 12 hours.
The last kid got home at 3 o'clock in the morning.
You're kidding?
Nope. No. Were they New York City Police Department with their help got the kid home at 3 a.m. But many got home around midnight, and that was really why de Blasio had to hold the press conference on Friday, was because of the furious parents who couldn't find their kids. Now, the parents set out to find the kids, and they got stuck in traffic.
This is all de Blasio's fault. I don't care.
It really was a lack of preparation. Nobody expected it. That's true. They should have expected it. They should have said, look, it has the potential. However small, we got to be ready for it. And they didn't. And they're guilty of incompetence.
He closes the school when they have 2 inches, but he's not ready for this.
Right.
That whole cried wolf, the whole cry wolf thing you said is just baloney.
His arrogance and lack of, this is where the buck stops.
Lack of remorse.
I take responsibility and lack of really empathy. In other words, just more angry that he's being blamed for it than actually feeling sorry for the people who were screwed by it.
That was the tone, yeah. Yeah.
It's just, that's why you want to punch the guy in the face. I'm sorry.
So, more importantly, how was the event? You did make it there.
I made it there because I went out, like you said, at noon, which I would have done anyway because I don't want to sit in traffic. Even if the sun was setting at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I couldn't deal with that traffic, although that's palatable. But I went out early at noon, and the event was it was not as richly attended as it otherwise would have been, but there were still a few hundred people there. Believe it or not, I was actually shocked.
Well, a lot of those people live on Staten Island.
Yes, they do.
He gets a huge draw from local people.
As far as celebrities go, the dais was about one-third filled.
Okay.
You had folks like Tony Sirico made it, Doc Gooden, Chuck Zito, Max Kellerman, Arthur Idala, I mentioned, the aforementioned Arthur Idala.
Right.
I was there, of course.
Right.
And I felt the person I felt more sorry for, or as sorry for, as you, was Teddy Atlas.
Yeah,
the poor guy was he extended the cocktail hour. He says, "Well, hopefully other people will show up."
Yeah,
and I guess a couple did, but what's his name from the Yankees? Pagliarulo.
Mike Pagliarulo. I was getting texts till about 8:30. And Sharon, who's in charge of the event, was saying, "Teddy's going to wait for you. Teddy's going to wait for you." I'm like, I'm not going to make it. I'm still in the Lincoln Tunnel. She's like, we're going to wait. I'm like, no, just do it. And it was about 8:30 I got the last text. So I don't know what time they actually started the event.
Listen, I made it clear to Teddy, and as you did, I didn't know you were texting him, that you were stuck in your car and that this was a big deal. You were coming out with your family.
Yeah.
Because Teddy was like saying things like, you know, this is how you measure people. It's okay to come out in good weather, but it's this kind of weather, the people that show up. You know, he was saying stuff like that.
Right, right.
And I was said, my boy, believe me, my boy Sid is out there doing his best right
yeah,
now
yeah.
in the car. And so anyway, I felt bad. Teddy is a saint.
Yes,
Teddy Atlas is a damn saint is what he is. And, I, you know, he wanted to give him a hug. I felt so bad for him.
Of course.
But he had people, the show went on, and it was a really, really good event. Regardless of the fact that it was, you know, fairly sparsely, a few hundred people as opposed to 1,000.
1,000, right, right.
It is the best event of the year, and he does do a good job, and Teddy cares, man. That's the bottom line. He cares, so it's great that you were there. And did you get an award, a certificate?
I got an award. I went up on I did a brief speech.
Nice.
Accepted it.
Heard you were great.
On our behalf.
Pat Russo told me you were great.
You know, Pat Russo's another guy. He was there, and these salt of the earth people. Mikey Sullivan was there, who's just a wonderful man.
Yep.
And yeah, Pat Russo, he gave me a badge to the a small badge to the NYPD badge, whatever. But he's a lot younger. I don't know if you ever met Pat Russo.
Many times.
I didn't realize
he's a good looking guy.
I thought he was speaking of sanitation leaders.
No,
that's the image that I have.
No,
he's just a young
jet black hair,
yes,
good looking guy,
good looking and in shape too.
Yes. Yeah. Former cop.
Good people. Good people.
All right, well, that's where we start today with the snowstorm last Thursday. The incompetence here in New York City, which starts at the very top with Bill de Blasio. We'll talk more about this with a local councilman coming up later on in the program. But there are a ton of stories to get to, including this one's unbelievable. 33 years to the day.
Yeah.
33 years to the day, a quarterback in a certain city suffers the same exact injury which horrified the nation on Monday Night Football back in the mid-1980s. We'll get to all of that. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. It's Thanksgiving week. Holiday season is here.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho. Three big football games coming up on Thursday. You got a great game tonight. The best game maybe in decades. I don't remember the last time you had two 9-1 football teams going head-to-head with the Chiefs and Rams ready to play tonight. So, very cool stuff going on.
Get out the popcorn.
Let's do it, Bernie and Sid.
I'm into it.
On a Monday. We're coming right back right after these words.
Wasn't me. She even caught me on camera.
No, wasn't me.
She saw the marks on my shoulder.
Wasn't me.
Heard the words that I told her.
Wasn't me.
Heard the screams getting louder.
Wasn't me.
She stayed until it was over.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Sid in the morning. Entertainment news now.
Walking Dead superfans, wake up. I'm Juliet. You folks apparently are all abuzz over the opening credits. Since season one, the show logo, which comes in at the end of the opening sequence, has been crumbling, decaying, basically. But now it looks rebuilt. And fans are just all abuzz over all of this. It's covered with green moss now. The show's creators have used the opener, as you know, to drop Easter eggs, as they're called, little surprises or hints for fans to analyze and ponder. But there's already chit-chat about this latest season's eggs as good news for fans, and good news for fans, rather. Producers say that they'll be adding more eggs as the season goes on. And Maroon 5 feeling a little unloved by fans, I guess. That's because 40,000 people have now signed a petition urging the band to turn down the Super Bowl halftime show. Change.org wants them to say no to the gig, standing in solidarity with Colin Kaepernick. Interestingly, though, the band itself still hasn't confirmed that they're actually playing the big event. Asked about that and the Change.org petition on the Ellen DeGeneres show, Maroon 5 frontman Adam Levine would neither confirm nor deny, but he did say this.
Because whoever does it, seems like that would be a really big deal to perform at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, whoever is lucky enough to get that gig probably is going to crush it.
Yeah, so it sounds like he is doing it still, despite the Change.org petition. And as we told you last week, singer Robin Thicke lost his home in the Malibu wildfire. TMZ caught up with Thicke and his girlfriend in Beverly Hills over the weekend, and he was asked whether he's worried about looters like Pink's husband is. Thicke simply said this, unfortunately.
Ain't nothing to loot at our house.
Nothing to loot. Mr. Pink, a.k.a. Carrie Hart, by the way, as you might recall, posted that photo on social media last week, basically suggesting that anyone who looted his home would be shot. I'm Juliet. That's entertainment.
Well, you called me up this morning, told me about the new love you found. I said, I'm happy for you. I'm really happy for you.
Well, you would have thought the Giants won the Super Bowl. My God, I mean, no one is happier when the Giants win than me. But let's not get carried away, folks. They beat a two-win San Francisco 49er team on Monday. They bought a three-win. They beat a three-win Tampa Bay team yesterday. Tampa Bay has given up more points than any team in the National Football League. So while Eli Manning has put together two good games in a row, there's no question. They've taken on two teams that have combined to win five games. And Tampa Bay has an epically bad defense. So let's see how they do in like the next five games. They've got the Cowboys. They've got the Colts. They've got the Bears. So before you all start crushing me about how great Eli Manning is, and we told you, Sid, who's had five out of the six last 6 years, he's been bad. Beating the Niners and the Buccaneers has convinced me of nothing. Do it against the Bears. Do it against Dallas. Do it against Tennessee. Do it against the Colts who are red hot, then we can talk.
Don't they do have that opportunity coming up this weekend, correct?
No, they got the Eagles this weekend. Okay. Now, the Eagles just lost 48-7 to New Orleans yesterday. They're 4-6. They've been bad, too.
Oh.
So you would think the Giants may even win their third in a row.
Especially now with, the Redskins are in the same.
Redskins are in a tough boat here.
Right.
Redskins are in first. They're 6-4, but. Again, as he mentioned in the first segment, their quarterback, Alex Smith, suffered a broken leg against the Houston Texans yesterday. And his leg broke in the same exact way that Lawrence Taylor broke Joe Theismann's leg 33 years ago to the day. Bernie, to the day.
I know it.
What are the odds of that?
Well.
And Theismann was in attendance.
He was in the stadium. That's
yes.
Right. Yeah. What are the odds? I don't know. And the score, I understand, was similar to...
It was.
The score back then, 23-21,
yeah.
And it happened on the 40-yard line, the same as yesterday.
Crazy.
Tackled by the Defensive Player of the Year, Lawrence Taylor was, and so was J.J.
Watt. J.J.
Watt
for Houston.
Yep.
And felt terrible for Joe Theismann, and J.J. Watt was tweeting last night how horribly he felt for Alex Smith.
Terrible.
Yeah, well, he's a class act to begin with, and we know that. We know LT. We love LT. But I understand this gives... A New York fan favorite, former fan favorite, a big shot.
Yes.
Who's that?
Oh, yeah.
Mark Sanchez.
Yeah,
yes. Looks like he's going to be back.
He's actually auditioning for...
Yep. He's trying out for the Redskins, yes.
For backup quarterback position.
Yeah, Colt McCoy came in and did a good job for the Redskins yesterday. But now that division becomes topsy-turvy. You know, Dallas, they won two in a row. They beat the Eagles 2 weeks ago. They got a big win in Atlanta against the Falcons yesterday. So they're a game back at 5-5, but right now you got to think the Cowboys, they're the team that's going to eventually come out ahead. And in fact, by the way, talking about that, the Cowboys have a chance to go into a tie for first place if they beat the Washington Redskins coming up this Thursday.
So that's
that is your second Thanksgiving Day game.
That's the question. Is there some sort of miracle that could happen with the Giants?
No.
Or did I read Mike Vaccaro correctly? Was he actually rooting for them to lose so that they could have a second-round draft pick again next year?
Or? You mean a first-round draft pick?
Well, whatever.
He was the second overall. Partner.
A high number, yeah.
Right, right. He was number two overall. I didn't read Vaccaro's article. I don't know. Odell Beckham talked last week that the Giants are going to run the table. And again, they've won two in a row. If they can win their last six, they'd end up at 9-7 and still not make the playoffs. But again, the Chicago Bears are coming up. The Dallas Cowboys are coming up. The Giants are not better than those teams. So I get it. Everybody's excited. All the guys that love Eli. And now look what he's done the last 2 weeks. Again, the 49ers and Buccaneers have a combined record of 5-15. And the Buccaneers defense this year is one of the worst we've seen in decades.
And yesterday, their offense wasn't very spectacular. I mean, they were.
Well, they almost came back and won.
Well, they almost did.
The Giant defense was terrible.
But between Winston and
Fitzpatrick, they scored 35 points.
That's true. They did make it a game towards the end.
Yeah, the Giants almost gave it away.
Before that, they were horrendous.
Yeah.
They actually yanked Fitzpatrick.
They did.
And brought out Winston.
And then Winston, every time he got the ball, scored. And it was like, oh, my God, are the Giants going to blow this? But that's on the defense. Offensively, Barkley continues to show week in and week out why he was the right pick at number two. Yeah, no question about it. He has been one of the best rookie running backs I've seen in 25 years. And Eli Manning has had two very good games in a row against two very bad football teams. So let's see Eli again do it against Chicago or Dallas.
Yo, keep hope alive.
Keep hope alive.
That's
baby.
What I'm saying.
And they get big at all. Sid, you know, shut up. You've been rooting against Eli. I told you Eli still had it. Eli is still great. Again, San Francisco and Tampa Bay. Slow down. Slow down.
Is that what they're telling you? Shut up?
Oh, yeah. They get crazy.
People get crazy over sports, don't they?
Well, because they blame the offensive. Eli Manning in this town is a god. He's won two Super Bowls. He's going to the Hall of Fame. And there are Giant fans that will defend him no matter what. I mean, the fact that five of the last 6 years, and now this will be six of the last 7 years, have been lost seasons for the Giants, and Eli has not been very good in about five of those seasons, none of that matters. He's won two Super Bowls. He's going to the Hall of Fame. He's the man. And now he's put together two good games in a row against two bad teams. And now the fans are once again, if you're a critic of Eli Manning, you don't know what you're talking about. Because didn't you see what happened yesterday against Tampa Bay? Bernie, you could throw for 400 yards against the Buccaneers.
I'm pretty sure I could.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. And I'm pretty sure that Condoleezza Rice could coach the Cleveland Browns and do a lot better than whatever the coaches are doing there now and have been doing for the past few years.
Yeah. Well, Hugh Jackson got fired a couple of weeks ago. He's already gotten a job, by the way, running Marvin Lewis's defense in Cincinnati with the Bengals. But Condi Rice has been rumored. She's a big-time Cleveland Brown football fan. I don't think she'll get that job.
No.
I could see her replacing Roger Goodell as the NFL commissioner.
Absolutely. An office person.
Right.
Front office type person.
In a position
or league person.
In a position of big time leadership, Bernie. Not just coaching a local football team, but in a position of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
I can see Condi Rice running the NFL. But the fact that she's even been mentioned for the Browns coaching job does tell you that there may be NFL in the future for the former Secretary of State.
Ray Rice will be the coach of the Cleveland Browns before Condoleezza Rice. I'm begging you, whoever floated this story is eating mushrooms or something.
Yeah.
That's just not. You're not going to see her on the sidelines of a major NFL football game when she had nothing to do ever except being a great fan of football.
Yeah.
It's just never going to happen. I mean, please, I'm begging you.
No, I agree.
All right, so let's, having said all that, keep hope alive for the Giants, right?
Hey, 2-1
It could happen. Miracles can happen.
It can happen.
It could be the start of something big.
Right. Till the Bears kill them in 2 weeks. Kill them.
Well, maybe not.
Maybe not, no.
I mean, you got Trubisky is just, they're slaying it, right?
Yeah. They beat the Vikings last night. They're 7-3.
And the other guy, Khalil Mack, he's just killing it on defense.
Kills everybody on defense. Very good. Trubisky and Khalil Mack. You're a big Chicago Bears fan.
Let me tell you something. I was doing the icky shuffle last night. I was hanging with McMahon.
You and Jimmy McMahon?
Yes.
You guys are tight. Yeah.
Who's not in much better shape than that poor bastard we saw in 60 Minutes last night.
Tim Green, I know.
Oh, so sad.
Sad story. The guy was a great player at Syracuse, great player for the Falcons, and he is literally deteriorating from Lou Gehrig's disease.
There's a guy that he had it all going for him.
Yeah.
Handsome. Great family.
Yeah.
And yet he still says, I wouldn't do a thing different.
Well, isn't that what Lou Gehrig said at the very end?
Yeah, but, you know, here's the thing.
I'm the luckiest man in the world as he was dying.
But Lou Gehrig didn't engage in, you know, concussion-type activities.
No. Well, you don't need to do that to get that disease. That's not.
But what Lou Gehrig didn't do anything that would, you know, that you could point to that say, well, that contributed to my disease.
In terms of physical contact,
yeah.
Correct.
But Tim, last night, he did blame
He blamed football. It, and he says, nevertheless, I'd still do it again.
Do you want to hear it?
Well, we don't have time now.
Let's save it. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. We'll get to that, plus tons more stories. Always fun on a Monday. Bernie and Sid coming right back.
I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth. But I might have been given a bad break, but I've got an awful lot to live for.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
How much of this do you think has to do with football?
I think probably a lot, if not all. I use my head on every play. Every snap. It was like throwing myself head first into up a concrete wall.
I can almost see it, that dream I'm dreaming, but there's a voice inside my head saying, you'll never reach it. Every step I'm taking, every move I make feels lost with no direction. My faith is shaken, but I gotta keep trying. Gotta keep my head held high. There's always gonna be
a man is only 54 years old. God bless him. Tim Green, former superstar at Syracuse, 8 years with the Atlanta Falcons. On this Monday after a big day of football, and he was on 60 Minutes last night. Great piece with Steve Croft. And he is suffering from ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and he attributes his illness to the violent collisions that he went through every single day for the better part of a decade playing in the National Football League. And at this point, there's almost no disease really outside of cancer that doctors and players don't think football can cause. Brain injuries, stuff like this, Parkinson's, ALS. Seems like more and more now guys that played the game are attributing their horrible illnesses to playing football.
Yeah. Well, look, ALS, I don't know what the hell it is. I know Lou Gehrig had, as I pointed out earlier, Lou Gehrig didn't have these types of collisions.
Well, he played football in high school. He may have played a little bit after, right.
Then I stand correct. I don't know much about it. I just watched it last night.
Stephen Hawking had.
Very moved by it. And Stephen Hawking didn't either go through any of that stuff.
I've never heard ever anybody say they've gotten ALS from football. Brain problems, yes. And we've seen guys like Junior Seau, one of the best players ever, God rest his soul, Dave Duerson. There's been a bunch of guys who have killed themselves over the last couple of years. Jim McMahon has been suicidal because of brain injuries sustained from football, but I've never heard of anybody getting ALS from playing football.
But what was, I don't know, weird about this, or not creepy, but he predicted it. He said, look, we could be taking 20 years off the end of our lives by what we're doing here playing football. He said this in 1996.
Everybody knows that going in.
And then he said that, and they played it as Steve Croft read those words back to him.
Right.
And then he said though he would not change a thing. He would do the exact same thing again today, just for the glory that was so intoxicating to be out there with 60,000 people cheering for him.
So Mike Ditka said about Jim McMahon, when McMahon was looking for millions and millions of dollars, and it was his quarterback. They won a Super Bowl together with the Bears. And he's like, he knew what he was getting himself into. When you play in the NFL, you are going to sustain injuries that will absolutely shorten your life. There's no question. And if it doesn't shorten your life, it's going to shorten the quality of your life.
Right.
But you know that going in. You know it going in, but millions and millions of dollars.
And the babes and the billions.
That's
and
right.
The millions and the glory.
So don't bitch afterwards. Tim Green's not bitching, unlike guys like Jim McMahon who want a lot of money.
Exactly. You're exactly right. He's not at all pointing fingers. He says, I knew it, and I accept full responsibility. And by the way, I wouldn't change a thing, is what he said. He's a little sad, though, apparently, obviously, with good reason, that he's going to miss his family.
Yeah, Troy.
Because he is only 54 years old.
His son, Troy, especially.
And he was such a good-looking guy.
Listen, kids?
Yeah. He has five kids. Yes, his kid is, he's actually the coach. His kid's a quarterback.
Yeah.
And he says the NFL policies now have minimized the kind of damage that may have caused what he has and other concussions. Yeah. He did have at least a dozen concussions. He said he stopped counting at some point.
Well, I think Curtis Martin, the former great Jet and Patriot running back, said he thinks he suffered at least 22.
Wow.
By the way, he was supposed to be there Thursday. Was he there, Curtis?
Curtis was not there.
Not there, okay.
No. But, and by the way, Joe Namath did as well.
Yeah.
And he's fine today.
Oh, he's great.
So, I mean, it's... Well, he is, actually.
No, he is good. His issue is his knees.
Yeah.
He had to have both knees replaced.
So, go figure. I mean, go figure. But listen to this poor Tim Green, who, by the way... He turned out subsequent to his career to be an author. He was a TV personality.
TV analyst.
Yep. He was a TV. I met him a couple of times. He came on into Imus' show. I believe he's a friend of Mike Breen's to plug some of his books.
He's writing another book right now.
And he he was the nicest guy you ever want to meet. But anyway, here's one more clip from last night's 60 Minutes.
Tell me about the magic. What made you keep doing it?
You break past some 300-pound giant and slam him into the dirt, and you stand up, and 60,000 people are screaming for you. Your hands are like lightning rods, and it washes through you. You can't replicate that.
It comes washing through you?
Yeah.
So he said, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it comes washing through, and you can't replicate that.
His kid, Troy, right?
Yeah, his kid, right. Yeah. I would not. I mean, I don't care what the cheers, how intoxicating it is. To suffer like this now, I guess he's being stoic, saying there's nothing I can do, so I might as well just say no regrets. But me, personally, I would just, he was a good-looking guy, smart guy. He could have had a career in other areas, no doubt about it. Could have been a porn star.
But you can't look back now and do that. He was a football player. That's what he did.
I like the sentiment, no regrets. The old phrase that I probably saw in Confucius in the Daily News is, he who regrets is a fool twice. That applies. There's nothing you can do about it, so why regret?
Right. This is the field he chose, and he was unfortunate. Many football players are fine.
Now, pose the question this way. If you had it to do over again, knowing what you know now, would you do it?
Well, I'll tell you what. There was a study taken a couple of years ago, and I don't remember, Bernard, exactly who did the study, but they grabbed a bunch of Olympic athletes, and they said, here's the deal. I'm going to guarantee you, guaranteed, you're going to win the gold. In the next Olympics, you're going to win the gold. Here's the kicker. 10 years off your life. So if you were going to die at 73, you die at 63. If you were going to die at 80, you die at 70. 10 years off your life, but you get the gold. 88% said, give me the medal.
No kidding.
That's all you need to know.
Well, you know, youth is, you don't think that you're ever going to come around to being old. I mean, listen, that's why I smoked for a long time. Because I always said it in the back of my head, oh, I'll quit when I turn 40. Mm. And I only smoked when I drank, by the way. I wasn't, one of these freaks standing outside in the freezing cold weather.
You weren't Joni McDonald or Joe Benigno?
No, not even close.
Running up and down the staircase every break?
No, I actually enjoyed my smoking with alcohol. That's the only time I ever smoked. But I haven't done so in almost, it's getting on to almost 10 years now, really. Except the very, very occasional weekend, summer night, two cigarettes a year or something like that. But the thinking was, that's a long way off. Who the hell cares?
Right.
So there's some of that. And it's why young men go to war. It's why young men join the army or they do whatever they do. They think they're immortal. There's this this mentality that it's never going to end for me. And then one day the day of reckoning comes.
And it does end.
It does end.
Kind of like this hour on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show.
Let me get a cigarette.
Hour number two, right after these words.
Bernie and Sid in the Morning.
You're going to tell me that you want her to go head-to-head with Bill Belichick, Mike Tomlin, with no experience. She couldn't go to the board, I guarantee you, and design any one of Greg Williams' blitzes. Not a chance. That's almost offensive. What would be how you would sell to the Cleveland Browns community that you just hired a good head coach when the woman has never spent 5 minutes in her life inside a football operation? What you are doing is completely belittling the profession. That would be like saying that if Trump stood up and said, you know what, my next Secretary of State is Nick Saban. I like Nick. I like his leadership. I'm sending him to Russia tomorrow. He's now my Secretary of State. I didn't think that would go over. Sometimes it's just so stupid you can't even make it up.
Here's Mike Francesa, courtesy of his app, yesterday on his NFL Now show. Though the rumors, of course, that the Cleveland Browns are seriously entertaining former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice as their next football coach. Everybody knows she's a big Cleveland Brown fan, big football fan. There have been rumors for years she would replace Roger Goodell as the next NFL commissioner. But yesterday, ESPN was reporting the Browns were interested in her coaching the team. And you know that anytime a woman is ever rumored to coach any professional sport, that Mike Francesa has an opinion on that. You may remember just, last year?
Yeah.
You know, Nancy Lieberman ended up coaching. She coaches in Ice Cube's 3-on-3 league. And Nancy Lieberman's team won the 3-on-3 championship. You were out that day, Bernie, but I had Nancy Lieberman on our show. And she stuck it to Mike. She's like, this one's for you, basically, Mike.
In her case, it's a little different than Condoleezza Rice, though. You would admit. I mean,
yeah, it is.
I have to say it.
It
Mikey,
is.
Let's face it, Mikey.
He may be right on this
You're
one.
You're right on this one, Mikey.
He may be. He may
you
be.
You know it. I know it.
Yeah.
And the Browns know it too, Mikey.
I mean, women do play basketball. In fact, Sue Bird, I believe, just got a job with the Denver Nuggets,
correct.
I believe.
Yes, she did.
But not football. But this was Mike, anyway, going back. His original thoughts on a woman coaching in the NBA.
In your lifetime, do you think we're ever going to see a day that we're going to have a professional manager, coach, female, that's a female, in your opinion?
Of a male team?
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Well, why aren't we outraged by that?
What do you mean outraged? It's a gender situation. They don't play. They're not players. They don't have any way to be in the league.
Broadcasting. They said the same thing about broadcasting.
It's not the same thing.
I know, but I just think that, you know, like...
Wait a second. What would qualify her to be a coach on the professional level of a men's team?
You couldn't see Susan Waldman coaching the Yankees?
No.
Listen. To his credit, on that particular thing about the women coaching, that's a possibility. I mean, they play baseball, but I don't. There's no real
basketball. He was talking about
basketball,
right.
In that case.
Right.
But he was also upset, wasn't he, about the lady who does the broadcasting in the ESPN booth with Alex Rodriguez, if I'm not mistaken.
Jessica Mendoza?
Yes. So he had a couple of strikes against him regarding females in sports. But to his credit, in this particular case, the Condi Rice story is so ridiculous.
Yeah.
He didn't let those two incidents in his past force him to say the politically correct thing and said, I think that's a pretty, like Rex Ryan was, he's very excited about the idea is what he said before the Browns GM, John Dorsey, said that Adam Schefter's report at ESPN was nothing but garbage.
Right. Basically, but he did say he could see her in a position of leadership.
Yes.
Like we've been talking about, you and I, Bernie, but not coaching our football team.
And he's 1,000% correct.
Right. No, Mike's right. But it is funny, whether he's right or wrong, you just know that a woman comes up coaching, position of leadership, any of that stuff, even though he's probably right here, Mike's going to be against it because Mike hates women. It's the bottom line.
I don't know.
He hates women.
That's ridiculous.
Them. Oh, you can say it's ridiculous all you want.
I don't know him that well.
He voted against Hillary Clinton.
Well, that's a good.
Oh my God!
That's a good indication. He's clearly a misogynist.
You know, one thing I have noticed: if you watch The Voice, which we do,
yeah.
What's funny about The Voice is the one thing that's made it popular, Bernie, is the one thing that I've grown tired of, and that is this silly back and forth between Adam Levine and Blake Shelton.
I like it.
That's stupid. It's predictable. It's every week. How could you like it?
Because I like both of them.
Every week
for
years.
They're both hot, though.
I know, but that's nothing to do with it.
Who cares? I mean, give me a break.
So CBS tries to do the same thing on Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
With Phil Simms and Boomer Esiason.
I know.
Every Sunday they go back and forth like Levine and Shelton.
And it's weak ass stuff.
Right. Just like weak ass stuff with Shelton and Levine.
And I like Phil Simms. I don't particularly care for Boomer any longer.
But they're not hot. And Adam and Blake are, so it matters.
It matters for you, I guess.
Yeah.
Or the millions that watch. But on a serious note,
it's for the ladies.
It's lame. It's just their back and forth is lame. And the same thing with Simms and Esiason. It's like every week. Boomer picks on Phil about something, and Phil gets upset.
All right, but let's go back to this. Where does this guy, Adam Schefter, I mean, where does he get off coming off with this, essentially, I hate to use the trite phrase, fake news?
It's not. Listen.
How does that happen?
He's the best information guy in football. For many years, that was owned by Chris Mortensen, who, by the way, is very sick. But Schefter and Mortensen worked together. Schefter's a guy that went to Michigan. He and I were actually very, very close. Ended up at the NFL Network. left the NFL Network, went to ESPN, and he is their information guy. 99% of the time, Bernie, when an NFL story breaks, and it's real news, it comes from Adam Schefter at ESPN.
Well, here's the way he wrote it, was that the Browns GM, John Dorsey, is open to hiring a woman.
And well, that's true.
And that is true. But then he takes this leap to another paragraph without attribution. He says the Browns would like to interview Condoleezza Rice.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's just an odd leap. It's almost like, I know I can make some news with this. He doesn't attribute it to anybody. I mean, I have the article in front of me. It just seems like shoddy journalism on this guy's part. And then, of course, Dorsey just knocked it right down. He said, look, I have the highest respect for Condoleezza Rice, but and then she did as well.
Right.
So where does he? I don't know where this.
He, like I said, he's got the best. He is the number one information guy. So
take away his credentials.
No. You know, tell you what happened on it.
Thank you, man.
He would come on my morning show in Miami every Monday for years. So my radio station went bankrupt. You remember that, Bernie? And they couldn't pay me, Eric, and Steve for 3 months.
Right.
Couldn't pay us.
It ain't easy.
It was brutal. We had to travel to the Super Bowl here to New York when the Seahawks played the Broncos. And I remember seeing Mark Chernoff at WFAN, and he grabbed me and said, are you okay? So make a long story short,
you like him. He's a decent guy.
Cherney. Adam. No, make a long story short, they couldn't even pay us, their regular employees. Schefter was a guy that was on payroll because he was a weekly guest, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't pay him either. They couldn't pay Paul Schwartz. He was coming on Fridays doing the Giant Report. So most of the guys that didn't get paid were okay with it. They're like, listen, we get it. The company went bankrupt. That's a fact. Guys like Sid, Eric, and Steve weren't getting their paychecks. Paul Schwartz, still getting paid by the New York Post. Adam Schefter, still getting paid by ESPN. Sid Rosenberg, nothing for 3 months.
Right.
Schefter held it against me.
Oh, so he is a scumbag.
So we never talked against him.
Oh, except F him then. And you know the other before the so hell with him, screw him. I hope he gets. I hope ESPN fires him.
I want to say that, but it was pretty bad.
I don't want him to get fired either.
But one other story about Adam Schefter. He married a woman whose husband died in the World Trade Center. So and she had a child. That child now Schefter is the dad basically, and they've had their own child since. But I remember when we were still talking before the whole bankruptcy incident. There was an NFL games on 9/11, and I said to Schefter, I said, listen, I know this is close to you. You're married to a woman who went through this. He went nuts, like Francesa. I don't want to talk about it. Don't bring it up. We've been friends for years. Please, you're my friend, Sid. I don't want to talk about it. Me and my family, we don't watch the news that day. We don't want to talk about it. He went crazy. You know, I always tell you that every now and then, families that went through it on 9/11 don't want to see the planes hitting the towers, don't want to talk about it. That's Adam Schefter. He actually married a woman whose husband died in the World Trade Center.
Oh, my. Wait a second. I don't know much about it. I know there was some shady stories where guys pounced a little too soon.
Firemen. And cops.
Yeah. But listen, one more aspect on the Condoleezza Rice thing is there is the Rooney Rule. Where each team has to interview an ethnic minority.
I hate that rule.
They just have to. And maybe they thought, or maybe Schefter thought that they were checking off a box where they would just ceremoniously just interview her and just move on.
Stupid
and get some headlines. By the way, Ray Rice's wife would do a better job than any of the coaches that that have coached the Browns over the past 4 or 5 years. Well, yeah.
How about 30 years?
Let's go. All right, let's go. Let's take it all the way back.
It's been decades. Mrs. Rice, no matter who she is. Uncle Ben, his wife, the great Uncle Ben's Rice.
That's right.
1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. We do want to get back to the snowstorm. That did not allow me to enjoy the great night. But Bernie was there, thank God. He did a terrific job. So we'll get back to all of that, plus Donald Trump and some more news on sports. Bernie and Sid on a Monday rolls on right after these words. Come on. Oh, yeah.
Money. Get back.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie and
and Sid in the Morning. Entertainment news now.
Royals, they're just like us. At least some of them are, apparently. An eagle-eyed TMZ reporter spotted a member of the British royal family over at LAX over the weekend. Princess Beatrice. She's the elder daughter of Prince Andrew and his ex-wife Fergie. And she's the big sister to the recently married Eugenie. Anyway, she was coming in from London. And though the royal didn't answer any of the TMZ paparazzo's questions, he did get a bit of a score. Video of her getting into an Uber. No gilded carriages for this young royal, apparently. And the best thing, the Uber guy, no idea.
Damn, he doesn't even know. He doesn't even know. Be careful. Precious cargo.
Rapper and hip-hop guru Diddy finally speaking out about the death of his longtime partner and the mother to his children. Hours after he was spotted taking a slow, solemn walk through the city with a friend, he posted a 2006 video to Twitter. It shows the two doing a maternity photo shoot for Essence magazine. Again, this was back in 2006 when she was pregnant with their twins, I believe, at the time. Under the video, he wrote a loving message which said, in part, "I've been trying to wake up out of this nightmare," and he vowed to raise their kids, quote, "just like you taught me to." And let's finish with some happy news. The mystery has been solved. Two-time Oscar nominee Jessica Chastain and her husband, Gianluca Passi di Preprosolo, have welcomed a baby girl. The two, it's interesting because they've been spotted at random times over the last months with baby paraphernalia like a carriage and a car seat, but there's never been any sort of spotting of the actual child itself, apparently. But the baby was reportedly born via surrogate. And what a beautiful name, Giulietta. I'm Juliet. That's entertainment.
Saturday morning, jumped out of bed and put on my best suit. Got in my car, raced like a jet all the way to you.
So on a lighter note, the Los Angeles Chargers suffered a really bad loss at home yesterday. They had a double-digit lead late. They had won six in a row. They were on their way to 8-2. And they allowed the Denver Broncos, who had just three wins, to come back and beat them. So they lose at home. But tonight in Los Angeles is even a bigger game. The two teams, along with Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints, with the best record in the National Football League, the hometown L.A. Rams, 9-1, hosting the phenom Pat Mahomes and the 9-1 Kansas City Chiefs. But in the backdrop of this big game tonight on Monday Night Football, and again, in the five decades I've watched football, I don't remember two teams during the regular season, both at 9-1, going head-to-head. It's a huge matchup. But in the backdrop is less than 2 weeks removed from that awful shooting in Thousand Oaks. And then these wildfires. I mean, the number of people that are missing is over 1,000.
Yes, unaccounted for.
But
they're not necessarily dead. They're scattered throughout the area, living in tents.
Tents?
Yeah, tents.
But many of them may be dead, too. Can they not get to these homes?
There's a portion of them that sadly are. But again, that number's going to drop drastically when everybody's accounted for. That's who's missing.
I heard like Martin Sheen was missing, and all of his kids were looking for him. And they finally found him, yeah.
But are there parts, are there communities and places that are just too dangerous to go to check now? That they can't find people? Can they not go to certain...
I'm sure there are areas where houses where people, they can't go in and actually look for corpses because the homes are still, you know, the embers are still burning and they're busy fighting the fire where it's actually spreading as opposed to that particular house where there may be dead people inside.
Right.
But it will drop. The final number will drop when these people check in and say, we're here, we're alive, we don't have a house.
But it still may be hundreds.
Yes, it will. It's a terrible, awful.
It's unbelievable.
It is.
It's
worse than any hurricane. If the numbers hold up, it's worse than any hurricane that we've had in forever. I don't remember over 1,000 people dying in any hurricanes.
What about earthquakes or tsunamis?
Not in this country.
No, not here, right?
No, it happens overseas all the time.
Right.
And sadly, nobody gives a rat's ass about it. I mean,
well, they do there.
They do there, but I mean, you know, we're supposed to.
We're supposed to what?
We're supposed to care about everybody, right?
Got the Chiefs and the Rams tonight.
We're globalists.
What? Oh. Our biggest disaster was the Knicks.
No, you have a mudslide and 800 people die.
Where was this?
And nobody gives
in San Diego, we care. But if it's
that's my point.
Right, if it's in like...
If it's in Europe or...
Well, we still haven't found the damn airplane from Malaysia.
Yeah, where did that thing go?
We did look for a long time, though.
Where is it?
We obsessed over that for...
I'm guessing it just dissolved into space.
Now, what see if the plane crashed... Jill, if the plane did in fact crash, what sea did it crash into? Let's get the Japanese music here, Maddie.
Or ocean.
No, not yet. She hasn't made the answer yet. We should go a little Jeopardy.
I'm going to guess.
She actually asked Matt Meany. I just saw her.
I'm going to guess.
Matt, you better not have told
him. No, he didn't.
He wouldn't know anyway.
So, Malaysia.
Yeah.
Malaysia.
What sea would the plane have crashed into?
Well, the sea that I know of is the Caspian Sea.
The Caspian Sea. Is that your final answer?
I'm going to say yes, Alex.
The Caspian
what
Sea.
What is the Caspian Sea?
Right. What is it?
No,
it's
sea. You have to...
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's as good a guess as any.
Right. Thank you. Incorrect, of course.
Of course.
Do you know
the Caspian Sea is in Russia.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. But...
Okay.
But think ocean.
Well, he said sea.
I know. Well, I'm saying think
okay.
ocean.
Well, then I would say Pacific Ocean. Is that wrong?
Nobody knows. It could be the Pacific Ocean. I would guess,
connected.
The trajectory had them going down the Indian Ocean, right?
That's correct.
Indian Ocean.
Well, they're all connected anyway, all the oceans.
But the fact that you knew an actual sea, can you name two more seas?
Let's see. Two more seas.
Yes.
Mississippi.
Sometimes they do call them oceans.
What about CeeLo, the very famous singer?
Yeah, CeeLo.
How about sea words?
Yeah.
Well, we can't
like,
do that.
You know two more seas. Come on.
Seas. Give me hints.
What about the Nile in Egypt? Is that a sea?
That's a river.
Oh!
Yes.
What about...
Thank you.
Lake Erie. Is that a sea?
That's a lake, Bernie. Nice try.
All right, you know what?
I'm pretty good at geography.
Well, you're trying to embarrass Jill.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt, name two other seas.
The Mediterranean Sea and the Adriatic Sea, I think is one.
Oh, Adriatic.
That's good. Close.
Close.
With a T.
Adriatic.
It's an easy one, the Irish Sea.
The what?
The Irish. What happened?
The what? Irish.
Irish?
Yes.
That's a sea?
Yes, it's in Brooklyn by Marine Park. All righty, folks. 1-800-848-WABC. You don't get this with Michael and Len. 1-800-848-9222. We want to get back to the snowstorm last Thursday. Kieran Lauder is going to stop by. Your phone calls and busy NFL weekend. Always fun on a Monday. Back after this.
What kind of people are these?
Mom, what do you want me to do?
Do what can you do? He's not Jewish.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
You know, you forgot the biggest sports story of the weekend.
What would that be?
The Irish dominated in the Bronx on Saturday.
They did. You know, it's funny. We actually had baseball games at Fenway Park and Yankee Stadium on Saturday.
Football.
You had the Harvard-Yale football game at Fenway Park in Boston. Like Bernie just mentioned, Notre Dame ran roughshod on Syracuse. Now, Syracuse did lose their terrific quarterback, Dungy, in the first quarter, but it didn't matter. At that point, the Irish were already up 10-0. They were already dominating, so don't give me if Dungy plays, they win. And the Irish, as Bernie just said, remain one of four teams that are still unbeaten. Clemson, Notre Dame, Alabama, and the fourth team, which has no chance, which is kind of unfair, of ever seeing a college football playoff, and that's the University of Central Florida, and that's why eventually they need to go to an eight-team college playoff instead of a four-team college playoff, because there are teams deserved of postseason play on Saturdays that will not make it, because only the super conferences get their deserved due.
Right. It ain't right, man. No
ain't
justice,
right.
No peace.
By the way, this is my favorite U2 song. I know you love One by with Mary J. Blige. This is my favorite. This is on the side two of the album Unforgettable Fire. So Bernie and I were just saying how cool it is that this week we're only going to work 3 days because obviously Thursday is Thanksgiving and that makes Friday an off day as well. So
speaking of the Irish, by the way.
That's right. So it's only a 3-day work week for me and Bernie, and we're saying, wow, how great is this? And then I reminded Bernie, of course, that that's what Howard Stern gets every week.
Oh, I know. He's so lucky.
Yeah, when you're, well, when you reach that stature.
Yeah.
I mean, you can... You can dictate the terms.
That's right. And still get a $500 million.
That's right. But of course, it gets replayed 24/7. And that's part of, I guess, the appeal. I mean, he allows them to do that.
Who?
Stern.
He makes his own rules. He works when he works. He does have the two channels, so you can hear him all week long. But he says, this is what I'm going to do. So,
for example, I heard him over the weekend. Actually, and I mentioned this last week about the senator in Arizona who looks like the librarian who, when she takes her glasses off and is going to let her hair down, and then next thing you know, she's in a porno movie.
She beat McSally, right?
She beat the very classy McSally, the Iraq war veteran, I believe pilot as well. She did. But he was perving on this cinema chick over the weekend, and I urge him to go to Google Images before you perv any further.
She's fat.
I'm not saying
what's very her, bottom heavy.
I'm just you want to make a well-informed decision.
Very bottom heavy.
From the
she got the base.
She's got that again. That glasses look and the hair and.
But she got a foobar.
A foobar.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, she got one of those.
Just Just a little tip. Word for the wise.
Mm-hmm.
Howard, the fat ass, absolutely.
Started on K-Rock 33 years ago today.
Yeah, is that right?
Yes.
Is that from Joe Salameno?
That's from Joe Salameno.
Yeah, of course it is.
33 years ago today.
K-Rock.
33 years ago yesterday, Joe Theismann broke his leg against the Giants. 33 years ago today, Howard Stern started on K-Rock. And wow. 33 years ago, where were you, Bernie?
Well, let's see. That would be 2015 minus 30 would be 1985.
Today, it's 2018. What are you talking about?
No, he's
about?
Doing
2015.
Math.
No, I'm doing math. 2015 minus 30 is put you at 1985.
Right.
Is when we're talking.
That's right.
So I was doing my math out loud in my head.
Gotcha.
And where was I? I was at WNBC Radio. I was there when he left.
And that was right before the beginning of WFAN.
This was before WFAN.
Right before.
This is right before I started working for Imus, as a matter of fact, which was 87. But I was at NBC.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when he left, when he got fired, when they, you know, you had pig vomit and all those people there. That was when I graduated college 84. I was there then. And so that's where I was. I was working in promotions, and I was working in the newsroom with Bill Maher's dad, who was the editor in the newsroom. I was the sort of the liaison between the newsroom and the helicopter to Imus's morning reports, the helicopter lady, Roz Frank.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I was. And Stern went to K-Rock, and he was a competition with Imus, and it was a heady time.
Yeah. It's a good time.
Well, good times.
Imus ended up with a 4-day work week. He didn't get the 3 days like we have this week, like Stern gets, but he did end up with a 4-day work week.
By the way, Mike Breen was there at that time as well. But yes, Imus ended up with a 4-day work week. And he struck me, though, Imus, like he wanted to work. I mean, he wanted to come in anyway. He wanted to be on the microphone. I don't know. It didn't bother him. For some reason.
Now, when Howard's off,
much to our chagrin,
do his people get off? Like, does Fred get off? Does Robin? Does Gary? What about Baba Booey? Does he have
now,
to come in?
I will say this. For years, years, I know Gary. He was at my wedding. We shared a Hamptons house, and I knew him from WNBC. All the years that I worked with Mr. Imus, we got off, Lou and I got off every week he took off for vacation, 6 weeks, 7 weeks. We got it. Whereas Gary got off 2 weeks a year.
Back then, not anymore.
Stern wouldn't allow him. And he would actually, for years, even way past just back then, he would actually use me as an example to management. It ain't fair.
What?
I'm his producer, gets a blah, 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 and I'm boy Gary, and I only get 2 weeks. I got to come in and host best ofs.
Wow.
I agree with Gary.
But that was a long time ago.
It goes to John Stuttering John's point that Howard was cheap and he was a little mean and didn't really take care of his staff, according to Stuttering John. And I know that was true about Gary for a long time.
Wow. But not recently. Now he gets off.
I really don't know.
He's got to make a ton of money.
God bless.
What do you think he makes?
After all these years? What do I think he makes?
Yeah. Half a million?
He didn't make what I was making.
No, I know. But now?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I would say at least half a mil.
At least, right?
Probably a mil.
I doubt it.
Really?
I really do.
Even now, a half a million?
Yeah.
Howard gets a half a billion.
Yeah, that wouldn't be right.
Yeah, but Howard could have let him get off, taken off the 6 weeks, too.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't allow it.
Mm-hmm.
So there was something, you know.
You think Gary makes more than Fred? Or
No.
Really?
Are you kidding me?
Than Fred Norris?
Yeah.
Fred, listen, I happen to know. I was there. Fred writes. He writes jokes.
Still does.
That's
true. The words you hear coming out of Howard's mouth, I don't know what percentage of them, but half of them is what Fred's writing on the screen.
Well, Jack used to do that too. Jack would actually hold up pieces of paper with jokes for Howard to read. But you're right. Fred's been doing it consistently for
Fred is brilliant.
35 years.
Fred's a writer and an on-air joke producer.
He's a genius.
That doesn't come out of his mouth. He doesn't get the credit for.
Right.
Oh, he gets paid a lot.
Yeah.
And he got the vacations, whereas, Gary had to come in and host Best Of.
Is he still the first one? I forget the history, but wasn't Fred the first one Howard met before Robin even?
Yes.
Right?
Yes, that's right. They worked together,
right.
I believe, in Connecticut, etc. I used to see those people back in, speaking of the 80s, I used to see Howard, Robin, and Fred come in the train as I was going home because I worked on Imus's show. Going home at about 11 o'clock, whatever. They were just coming in for their 3 o'clock show.
Right, right.
And I used to see Howard, who was a fat bastard at the time, coming off, I believe it was the E train, down at the 30 Rock. I remember that as clear as day.
They used to go together to the holiday parties, right? Imus and Stern would be in the same building.
Later on.
Yeah.
When they met with some success.
Right.
But those early days, when those days that you remember recounted in the movie Private Parts.
Yeah.
They were just taking the subway in, like any old schlub.
Like I do every morning.
Yeah, like you do.
Like I'm still doing that, by the way.
Exactly.
Shows you where I am in my career.
That's where I first heard of Imus, was through Private Parts.
Is that right?
That's when I heard
When the guy came out and was...
I forgot who played Imus. Door.
Yeah.
Well, I was there. How do you like that?
Wow, that's so cool.
Bernie was actually there.
Did you meet Scott the Engineer?
Of course.
Wow. Well, so have I.
Stern would... He would actually put up... tape. See the glass windows we have here? He'd bring in naked people or whatever.
Right.
And put up a tape paper to the windows.
So no one could see.
So the staff, like me, couldn't look in.
Right.
While they had the girls sitting there naked, doing whatever they were doing. But of course we saw it anyway.
Of course. Yeah. They did the same thing with Opie and Anthony, but the girls would get naked in the hallway. So if you were standing by the elevator or anywhere on the floor, you saw them before they entered the studio.
Right.
It wasn't like they disrobed when they got into the studio.
Wow.
And of course.
So N.E.W. was like Howard. It was with Opie and Anthony. It was the same type of madness.
Good perks.
And these people, anybody who listened to both Stern and Imus back in the day will remember Donna Fiducia.
Oh, yes. I remember that name.
Of course.
She was the helicopter lady. He called it Donna Fiducebag.
Yes.
Right.
And he was really mean to her. Really, really mean to her.
Donna Fiducebag. Oh, boy.
I mean, now we go to the skies for Donna Fiducebag.
That's great. Hey, by the way, talking about Imus and Stern being at the same holiday party, we did on Friday here at WABC receive our invitation to our holiday party.
I didn't get one.
You had to get one. Yes, you did. Everybody got one.
You know, I didn't check my email on Friday because we weren't here.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I think I erased it now.
Maybe. Really? It's like December 10th or something like that.
No, it's December 5th, and it falls on like on a Wednesday.
Like on a Wednesday in a bar like 3 blocks away, 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, how these Christmas parties have fallen.
Good times.
Oh, yeah. Man. Even at Meyendez, we used to go to the hotel in Long Island City. They had this Club Blue, which was run by a guy named Rosenberg, by the way. And it was great. And they would rage on until 2 o'clock in the morning. I can still see Lou Ruffino doing the worm at like midnight.
That's great.
Well, now 2 o'clock in the afternoon at some bar on 30th Street.
Yep.
It's a long way down from the plaza.
Yeah.
With both Stern and Imus and midgets.
Is that what that was? Is it the plaza?
It was the plaza.
Aye, aye.
So Cipriani's that's probably
the, that was, Mel Carmazan would pay for all that.
He had the money.
Big shindig.
He had the money.
Yeah, those were the golden days.
Those were the good old days.
Yeah. WNBC, and then
now say it the right way now.
WNBC, and later, when CBS owned
FAN.
That's right.
Yeah. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. A lot of walks down memory lane. This is a Thanksgiving week. The perfect time to kind of sit back and enjoy what you've got and reminisce and in certain spots actually feel very good about where you are now compared to where you may have been many, many years ago. We've all got a lot to be thankful for, I'm sure. And it all starts today on this Monday. And we'll come back with hour number three right after these words.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
In truth, this was a kind of perfect storm. It emerged bigger and later than anyone expected. I don't think it's fair to say that the city agencies could have stopped all of this. It's just, I'm not going to do that because I think that's just too convenient. You know, if people want to blame city agencies on something that they literally could not have stopped, I'm not going to be party to that. It's not about one person or one agency. This is an extraordinarily unusual situation. If Wednesday night we had said, brace yourselves, massive storm, you all would have said it's 1 to 2 inches predicted. Why are you crying wolf? Am I frustrated? Do I want to make sure this never happens again? Absolutely.
There you stood, battle teacher.
Well, there he is, your idiot mayor that you guys keep voting in every single time.
Punk.
That was on Friday, and of course, lots of us went through horror stories on Thursday night, including Sid, Danielle, Ava, and Gabe trying to make our way from the city to Staten Island for this great Teddy Atlas Foundation dinner event where Bernard and I were awarded the Jack Neufeld Award, something I've been talking about for 4 months. And 4 hours later, we were still at the entrance of the Lincoln Tunnel. We're not the only folks that went through this. There were kids that didn't get home until 3 o'clock in the morning. Seriously.
No, they were on the school bus the whole time.
Well, that last kid actually was taken home by the police. But there were kids on the school bus till after midnight. That's right. 9-10 hours on a bus with no food and no bathrooms. Yeah. And this guy is sitting there on Friday afternoon blaming Bill Evans, basically.
He's annoyed that he's getting the blame.
Yeah.
That's what he's annoyed at. He's annoyed that he has to answer these questions. And to a certain extent, he's right. It was a confluence of bad events.
Of course.
To a certain extent.
Right.
But still, the buck stops with you, pal.
Right.
And you do what you can. You expect the worst. And you prepare for the worst. And if it doesn't happen, don't worry about what the critics say. That it was, oh, you it was only going to be 2 inches. What are you doing? You're over preparing for something that's not going to. You do it anyway. That's a responsible thing. And you take the criticism if it doesn't happen. But you prepare for the worst.
He actually had the nerve. Again, I'm in the car for 4 hours. Kids up to 12 hours. He had the nerve to say he was going to an event that usually takes 20 minutes from Gracie Mansion. And it took him 45 minutes.
Ooh,
that's so
horrible.
He was inconvenienced by about 25 minutes. So Phil Murphy is getting killed in New Jersey, too, where they also had a difficult time.
Same thing.
Connecticut, same difficult thing. Time. But for us, see, here's what I tried to explain to people. Arthur Idala, Dennis Hamill, going from Brooklyn to Staten Island. Yes, the Gothels was a mess. The Verrazano Bridge was a mess.
The Bayonne was closed.
That's different. But to go from Brooklyn to Staten Island, you can get in. In the city,
wait,
were dead.
Gothels is Staten Island to Jersey.
Right, from Staten Island to... No, from Jersey. Well, either way. Right. Right.
It's like
way,
the Bayonne. Right,
like the Bayonne Bridge. But if you're in Brooklyn, you take the Gothels to the Verrazano, you're in Staten Island. You had to wait about 2 hours, but you got in.
Yeah.
In the city where I was, we were dead because the GW Bridge was shut down. 20-car pileup completely shut down the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to make our way to the Lincoln Tunnel. All that traffic made its way to the tunnel because the bridge was closed. And that's why we sat outside the entrance of the tunnel for 3 hours.
It was, you know, I mean, it was horrendous. It's
unbelievable.
And you were one of the horror stories. I mean,
yeah.
Sid and his family stuck in that car. They were all jacked up for this big event, the Teddy Atlas Foundation dinner. Understandably, Sid and I were going to receive this big award, which I did accept. I was there because I went out right after the show.
So you went out after the show early. What De Blasio was right is that rush hour starts in New York about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And as luck would have it, that's exactly when the hard snow right. started to fall.
There was bad timing. He's right about that. Bad timing, and it was colder than expected. The forecasters did screw up a little bit. They underplayed what was going to happen. But you should know from experience that they do that sometimes, and you get ready for it. And there was also this, what one meteorologist called, when he was trying to shift the blame, he says there was this early season malaise among elected officials. And that's what you had from these guys. And that's what you shouldn't have had. They should have anticipated, again, at the risk of repetition, the worst and prepared for it. You should have had the assault on the streets just in case.
Yeah.
And early school closings to keep the school buses off the streets. And the stupid buses, the Port Authority and all those people, they should have had chains on the buses.
Well, they heard 1 to 2 the night before. I believe de Blasio said at about 12:36 on Thursday afternoon, they started hearing more of 3 to 5. So my point is, at that point, by 1 o'clock in the afternoon, send everybody home. And they still didn't do that.
Right.
It still wasn't until, again, the heavy stuff did start at 4. So de Blasio could have said, well, if I sent them home at 12:30, there was no snow, and there wasn't. But they were getting updates a good 2.5 hours before the hard stuff came that there may be some more precipitation than initially expected.
But don't blame de Blasio. Not me. No, it was Giuliani. It was Ed Koch.
Bill Evans.
It was John Lindsay, for God's sake.
No, but he went right to the National Weather Service right there. He said, we were getting our updates from the National Weather Service, and they basically gave us the wrong information.
And how many times has the National Weather Service gotten it wrong?
Every day.
All right. So get prepared for the worst.
Right.
Once again, stop shifting blame. Stop sounding annoyed that you have to answer questions. Punk, because you weren't the one who was stuck in all this crap.
That's right.
Like those kids, like and poor Sid and his family, and thousands, tens of thousands of other people on highways in New Jersey and in New York City as well.
Bill de Blasio should give me back money because we bought Gabriel a brand new sport jacket at Lester's for this big night. And Danielle and Ava rented these beautiful dresses, and we put the pictures up anyway.
They look beautiful.
Thank you. That, actually, I saw those pictures that night,
yeah,
and it broke my heart. I felt terrible for you.
Joseph Abu dialed me up to the T like he did with you. We were really, we never looked better. The four of us were excited. It was great. But I got to imagine there's tons of you out there that went through hell on Thursday. We want to hear about it. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Do you feel confident now that the next snowstorm, they'll be more prepared? That's all de Blasio kept saying was, hey, next time around.
Oh, great, next time. That's sure. Of course, next time. Oh, next time, you won't get hit with that bullet in, in your abdomen. Don't worry about it.
Right. And do you think that it does fall basically on de Blasio, that it was his fault? And with that said, let's go to line 5. Morgan is in the BX. Morgan, good morning.
Good morning, Bernie and Sid.
Hey, man.
So I just wanted to comment on the snow situation. You know, de Blasio came out and said he didn't want to take blame for it. It's not his fault. He's not going to apologize. They were only predicting 1 to 2 inches. But I didn't see any snow trucks out, any plows or salting going on. When there's 1 to 2 inches going to hit the city, don't they salt?
Yes.
Well, they did. They did send out plows and trucks. I believe what she said was 1 to 2 inches, they send out about 800. Now, if it goes 3 to 5, they send out about 1,600.
And what they did at that point, when later in the afternoon, when they started to send out more trucks to salt, the trucks couldn't get around because of the traffic. In other words, they sent them out too late.
Right.
Too late. Sorry. Right. Do what I did. I got up off my ass, and I went over to Staten Island at 11 o'clock. I left here. That's when you start salting. There were no cars on the road. That's when you do the salting. You get it done, and you're good to go for the afternoon. They didn't do that.
Not even close. April is in Astoria, Queens, where me and Bernie used to work for many, many years. Good morning, April.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, I just wanted to mention, I have, Time Warner Cable or Spectrum, and when you live in Queens, on New York One, they'll have a section called the Queens, the boroughs, or whatever. They'll have a section called the boroughs.
They have the same thing in all the boroughs. They do the same thing in Manhattan, yes.
Yeah, but the thing is, I would like to know what's going on in Staten Island, Brooklyn. They are pushing, they're making people not have the same information, which is not good, because it's putting people in, getting cherry-picked information in everything we do. So when you meet your friend from another borough, not specifically about the borough stuff, but the mail they'll get, the commercials they'll get, everyone's not getting the same information. So how could we all be
well,
one country?
April, that's why you watch. Thank you for the call. That's why you watch channels 2, 4, and 7. That's your New York information. But when you're watching New York 1, those are specific, and they still do all the boroughs. They absolutely do, all of them. I watch New York 1 Spectrum, which is actually located on 96th and Broadway in the city every night. They do all the boroughs, but they do in each borough spend more time on that specific borough. That's why you watch networks 2, 4, and 7. Hey, I'm going to be in Rockland County on Thursday. I go there every year for Thanksgiving. My sister Alana's house up in New City. Tanya is in Rockland County this morning. She's on line 4. Good morning, Tanya.
Hi, good morning. I just want to say that my commute from Queens to Nanuet usually takes about an hour and a half in traffic. It took me 8 hours to get home with a 2-year-old, and I'm 28 weeks pregnant.
Oh my God. See that? Now that's a horror story.
I was on exit 4B, the ramp, for 2 hours. I counted the traffic light change 122 times.
Oh my God.
So what would you say? It was 4 p.m. to midnight, something like that? There was your commute?
I didn't get home
until
about 1:30 in the morning.
You know, and by the way, to piggyback on Tanya, thank you, Tanya. She's in Rockland. Oh. Joseph Abood left his place in Westchester on his way to Staten Island to meet you and I with his great driver, Anthony, who's a wonderful guy. He left at 4. He eventually had to turn around. He arrived back at his house at midnight.
Well,
8 hours.
If it makes Joseph feel any better, the suit that I wore was spectacular. Thank you, Joseph.
Mine too. I was in the car.
It was
spectacular.
I strut out there right before Pagliarulo. Yeah, and the rest of the minimal amount of celebs that showed up. But I strutted like a peacock in my Joseph Abood brand new suit.
You look great. I saw the pictures. You look beautiful. I actually saw you in your suit looking great with your hand over your heart and the flag behind you. What were you doing, the Pledge of Allegiance of the National Anthem?
You know, all those pictures that you're talking about, I didn't see any of them.
Okay. So, but was there a time when you did the National Anthem?
Yeah, there was this Irishman who Joe was perving over, Kieran Sheehan.
Yeah.
He's a Broadway performer who, by the way, loves this show. I swear to God. He loves this show, and he was singing some patriotic songs. And at that point, yes, we all stood, had our hands over our hearts, and it was fantastic. And Teddy Etlis, by the way, let me say, is a saint. Mikey Sullivan, another saint. Great guys. It was just, it was still a very good night, even though a lot of people were unable to attend.
Yeah. Listen, they do a great job every year, and we're glad that, Bernie, you were there. Phones are lighting up. We're going to get to each and every one of you. Kristen, Joe, Tommy, Joe, Scott, everybody's got a chance to talk today on Bernie and Sid, and we're coming right back right after these words.
Sid in the morning. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news now.
Hello, I'm Juliet. British pop star Zayn Malik revealed some personal news, and it's become a bit of a controversy. The former One Direction band member, the brooding one as he was known, told British Vogue that he's no longer a Muslim. He says he appreciates his upbringing. He still believes in God, but he does not believe you, quote, need to eat a certain meat that's been prayed over a certain way. He says if you're a good person, everything is going to go right for you. Many Muslims have gone on the attack, though, angrily posting on social media, accusing him of mocking Muslim beliefs. How dare someone express their opinion? And moving on, if you're going to get married and you live in New York State, I may have the perfect guy to perform the ceremony. Late night host Stephen Colbert was on the Catholic talk show Faith and Focus recently, and he told host Father James Martin that he had veered away from Catholicism back in the 80s, but he decided to veer back after reading a passage that helped guide him on how to handle anxiety in the New Testament. But the CBS star also told the father, if the talk show thing doesn't work out, there's always this.
I do have one of those certificates you can order online.
Okay.
To marry people in the state of New York. So, I know you went to seminary, but I went online. Mm-hmm.
Send us the bill. Send us the bill.
And finally, I get loving the whole Mickey Mouse thing. I really do. But some Japanese fans took this obsession to just a whole other level. Sunday marked the famous mouse's birthday. It was 90 years ago that Steamboat Willie premiered. That was the first time the public actually got a glimpse of Mickey Mouse. And the folks lining up in a queue at Oriental Land, which is their sort of the Disney World version of Disney World, the Japanese version of Disney World, rather, they probably felt like they'd aged to 90 years. By the time they'd reached the end of the queue to wish Mickey a happy birthday in person, it was 11 hours. And people actually waited 11 hours. What the? I'm Juliette. That's entertainment.
I think we should all take a moment to think about what it's like to be a turkey.
Gobble, gobble, gobble. Gobble, gobble, gobble. Hi, I'm just a little turkey.
Just cut the damn bird, boy.
Do we? Can we just enjoy our Thanksgiving dinner?
You think you're so great sitting there all drugged up on your trampoline. You're the black sheep of this family. You call yourself a cox. Until you get right with Jesus, you'll never be nothing but a big black cox.
Yes, the great Dewey Cox, John C. Reilly. We'll get back to your phone calls here. Kirsten in the Bronx, Joe in the Queens, and a few others. I did mention the fact that Dr. T from NJDiet.com loves Sid Sports Sunday. Had a great show yesterday. Tim Brando from Fox talking college football. We had the former Giant great Sean Landetta talking NFL. Johnny Franco stopped by, talk about Jacob DeGrom winning the Cy Young. And we've got a monster show coming up this Sunday, the Thanksgiving Sunday, and you can come see it live. That's right, for the second time in about a month, Sid Sports Sunday comes live from Bourbon Street Cafe in Bayside, Queens on Bell Boulevard. The show, again, is from 9 to 11 a.m. Going to be serving Bloody Marys, mimosas, breakfast. Get to watch me live. Great job here by Leslie Slender. And get ready for a week 12 of an NFL Sunday. We've got VIP spots available right now. So if you want to come this Sunday, come to Queens and watch me do Sid Sports Sunday live at a great place. Be caller number 7 right now at 212-268-WABC. That's 212-268-WABC. And I'll see you Sunday in Bayside.
That sounds like a great event. A fun time.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Good stuff.
Sid, live, in person.
Live!
And there won't be any snow to stop you.
We'll be inside. We did it on the roof last month, and it was nice. And
not this time.
Not this time. It's too cold, but we've got giveaways. And again, they make you a free breakfast. You get free drinks. Get you ready for the football. Giants have the Eagles coming up. The Jets, they were off this week. They're back in action. Coming up this Sunday against Tom Brady and the Patriots.
Very exciting.
Big Sunday, yes.
Now, before we get back to the call, Sydney, and it's related, Governor Christie was actually stuck in traffic on Thursday during the snowstorm, and he actually tweeted, did Governor Christie? He tweeted, "It took me 5 hours and 40 minutes to travel from Piscataway to Mendham.
Wow.
Hashtag snow mess."
Oof.
So Governor Christie stuck in traffic, as you would imagine. He got slaughtered in the replies to his tweet.
I'm sure.
This is the sampling of the replies. Imagine being trapped on a bridge because your mayor won't endorse a monster for governor. It's still too early for you to complain about being stuck in traffic, Governor Christie. And then this one. Look up irony, then ask yourself if ironic is how you want to be remembered. And then one lady, she actually tweeted, "I'm just here for the replies. Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid."
Ah, poor Chris. I still like Governor Chris.
I like
Christie.
Him too. Yeah. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
But he was a little tone deaf at that particular. Maybe pissed off, but tone deaf.
I would say.
And
so.
And maybe hungry too. 5 hours and 40 minutes in a car.
I would imagine that. Yeah.
Was hungry and wanted to go to the bathroom. That's the other thing. I mean, I got to pee every hour.
There's a lot of brown and yellow marks. There was.
We'll take one call before we go to break. Kristen is in the Bronx on line 6. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning, guys. Listen to you every morning. Love you. Just want to let you know, my daughter was on the Riverdale Express bus. She got on at 3:15 on 69th Street, and she goes all the way up to our stop, College of Mount St. Vincent, Bernie.
Yes, my alma mater.
Mine, too. We love you. We live a block away.
Oh, cool. Great neighbor. Thank you.
Great. And it took her until midnight.
Oh,
it took
God.
Her 9
Oof.
Hours.
Oof.
I'll tell you, thank God for GPS on her cell phone, or else we would have been out of our minds.
Well, let me ask you this, because I heard a lot of these stories, Kristen, about parents jumping in their cars trying to get to their kids, and they ended up getting stuck in traffic as well, so nobody got home. But was there somebody that was constantly communicating with you, at least, so you knew?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Just my husband and I were both nurses, and we just happened to have the day off, and we were just on the phone, and at one point my husband was so worried, he wanted to try to meet her, and I kept telling him, There's no way you can get her. You're going to get stuck, too.
Right.
So luckily,
but who was calling you? Was the bus driver somebody from the school?
No one from the school, and dispatch never picked up. So thank God we had, she had her cell phone, and everyone was really good. It's a nice Riverdale neighborhood. They were sharing chargers. She was with a group of friends. Yeah. And it all worked out, thank God. But without that cell phone and without that GPS tracking on
mess.
Her, I would have been out of my mind.
Thank you, Kristen. Thank you. You know, we have this conversation on this show quite a bit about kids with cell phones. And if the school's not picking up and the dispatch is not picking up, you know, 9 hours, you're going to go nuts. Thank God. See, that's why the kids need a cell phone in this
conversation
city.
Is should they be allowed to take the cell phones into the classroom?
Yes.
Now, of course, they should take them on the bus on the way home and all that stuff.
But, yes, there too.
But I would say this. There were Port Authority just closed down. It was over 1,000 buses. They said to the people, everybody go home. There are no buses. Wonder what those people did.
I know.
What did they do?
I don't know.
They didn't go home.
They shut down the Port Authority,
they
Bernie.
They shut down.
Over 3.5 inches.
Over like 1,500 buses just canceled.
I know.
And, okay, get out of the building. No buses.
What if you have to go to Monticello?
You had to go to Jersey, anywhere. What did you do at that point?
I don't know.
I don't know what they did. They slept in stairways, went to the bar.
No, hopefully they got a hotel. I don't know.
And the hotel prices in Manhattan on a night like that, I mean, a lot of these people are just, you know, they're working stiffs. They can't afford this stuff.
They probably slept right there in the Port Authority.
They were thrown out of the building. They had to
they
leave.
Actually
they
threw
closed
them.
The Port Authority.
See, I've been
down.
Like when an airport's when your flight is canceled, people sleep in the terminal.
Yes, Penn Station, that was the case. Port Authority, they closed it.
Wow, they shut them out.
Can you believe that?
No.
So as bad as anybody's situation was, somebody had it worse.
Oh, the good news is, though, not one child, and this is the point that Carranza and de Blasio kept making. Yes, they were inconvenienced. Inconvenienced. 10 hours, you pieces of garbage. They were inconvenienced. They were late. But the good news is, not one injury. Not one bus
that
crash.
Is good.
That is good news.
And we don't have time for it, but Joe from Queens Point, Governor Cuomo responsible as well. He runs the Port Authority. You're absolutely right, Joe. He's every bit as responsible from Westchester County. It's all New York State. It's what got him elected is New York City, for God's sakes.
Now, what's funny is de Blasio found a way to include the Amazon deal on his Snowpress conference on Friday. He said, you know, if I would have overreacted on Friday, it would be the same as me not bringing Amazon to New York City. You'd bitch about that, too. Well, that's good timing because Assemblyman Kieran Lauer is about to join us talking about just that. So we stay very local in New York City on Bernie and Sid right after this.
Sit down and shut up.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Thank God, Connecticut made it. Joey Logano won the NASCAR championship. If I miss was still on, he'd be making me talk about that this morning. You know that. What about the guy that won the NASCAR?
I mean, why aren't you reporting that, you moron?
Yeah. Well, he won Joey Logano. So.
Oh, that's great.
Just in case I miss is listening from Texas.
Some lady, 18-year-old girl, like did a crash, flipped into the stands.
Oh, my
you see
terrible.
That?
Yeah. It looked like something out of a video game.
But nobody died, right?
She didn't. She hit four people. They're injured, and she fractured her spine. But Jesus, that was
rough.
Unbelievable.
And a good job locally by the Mets and the Nets and some of these teams that have already given out thousands and thousands of turkeys for Thanksgiving coming up in a couple of days. And I believe that's what Kieran Lauer is going to do later on today when he's done with you and I.
He's good like that.
No, he's great like that.
He's a very generous man.
He will stand on the he's going to stand on the streets giving out turkeys.
Yes.
Like Dewey Cox. Kieran, good morning, pal. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Assemblyman, New York State Assemblyman Kieran Lawler on the Bernie and Sid Show on WABC. Hey, Assemblyman, yes, you're doing well. I saw you a couple of nights ago, I think, on Fox News, and you were killing it. You were killing Cuomo and de Blasio over this Amazon deal that the taxpayers are stuck with the bill, and these guys get all the glory.
Yeah, it's actually gotten even worse since that segment on Tucker the other night, because the governor came out and said, I can do this without any legislative oversight. The legislature, which obviously I'm a member of, is not going to have to vote up or down on any of this funding. He claims he already has the authority to spend these $2 billion. And in today's Daily News, Mayor de Blasio is out defending it, saying, hey, we can have a high cost of business, we can be an expensive city and still get great companies in here. But he leaves out the fact you can get a big company here A, because it's New York and it's a media capital and a finance capital, but also you still have to pay them $2 billion to come here and an extra $1 billion from New York City. So I think the PR battle is being lost by the Amazon de Blasio Cuomo forces.
Well, it depends. I mean, if I'm going to be fair about this, I don't like those two guys either. In fact, I despise them, to be honest, Kieran. But I've read a lot of stuff, New York Times, Wall Street Journal. I've listened to a lot of people, and it may take about 10 years. But there's a lot of very good things about this deal. Jobs, fixing up some of that area down there, which is not all that nice down there in Long Island City. Money to the city. I mean, it's not all negative. So I understand early on, especially the first couple of years, why, in fact, there may be an issue. And you guys don't like these guys to begin with. But the truth is, over an extended period of time, it's not a bad deal.
Well, I'll tell you this. I've been studying these deals for the 6 years I've been in the legislature, Sid. And they never live up to the hype. I'll give you a great example. Tesla has a factory that we built as taxpayers up in Buffalo,
yep.
$750 million. Elon Musk, another billionaire, owns this. We still haven't gotten the jobs we've been promised. This week, for the first time, a media crew was allowed to go tour the facility, but they couldn't bring their cameras in. Tesla won't even tell us. We built the factory now. Tesla won't even tell us.
Let me stop you for a second. Let me stop you. Listen, I get it. You're right. And that's a good story. And it does prove your point. But you're not comparing Tesla to Amazon. I mean, Amazon is a can't miss. You know that. It's a can't miss.
I agree with you, Sid. And they were going to come here anyway to some degree. Google is here. Facebook is here. They have, you know, 5 or 10,000 employees in New York City. They didn't get any sweetheart multi-billion-dollar deal.
True.
And you really can't plan these things that far out. You know, Amazon is only like a 23 or 24-year-old company. Who knows what's going to happen in 15 years with technology, with their business model? And this is what happens with every one of these deals. They become too big to fail. So let's say in 15 years they haven't even come close to the jobs that they promised. Nobody's going to hold their feet to the fire because Amazon's going to turn around and say, hey, if you cut off the money, even though we didn't meet the job goal, we're going to take the rest of the jobs out of here. And you're going to be responsible for people losing their jobs. So even if they don't make the quota of jobs, they're still going to get paid. It happens in every single one of these deals. You know, I remember a time when I'm old enough to remember a time when you could just, have a good product, have a good service, charge more than it costs, and make a nice profit, and the government didn't have to pay you billions of dollars to locate to their area.
Yeah.
It's totally unnecessary.
You're right about that, Assemblyman, New York State Assemblyman Kieran Lawler on the Bernie and Sid Show on WABC. Now, it would make more sense if they provided those incentives to the company to relocate, say, in upstate New York or even downstate, perhaps in like places like Mount Vernon, Yonkers, something like that. But they didn't. I mean, they put it in it is a prime spot along the East River, right across from Manhattan. And your bigger point, Kieran Lawler, was that it's a tacit acknowledgement that what you call supply-side economics, essentially lower taxes for businesses, is the way to go, as opposed to their philosophy, which is higher taxes on business.
And in fact, yeah, you're right. And in fact, this allows them to ignore the high cost of doing business because they get to cut the ribbon. They get to say, hey, look at all these jobs we're bringing here. And they don't have to deal with the real problem that the mom-and-pop store, that the medium-sized employer is getting crushed. And now what they're doing is they're going to tax that mom and pop. They're going to tax that medium-sized employer to pay some of that money over to Amazon. So it's a double whammy.
Yeah. Are you more angry, Kieran, with this Amazon deal, the way Cuomo and de Blasio handled that, or the way they handled last Thursday's snowstorm?
the outrage is kind of similar, but that's over. You know, this Amazon deal is going to last for decades. You know, we'll be old men, and this deal will still be going on. We'll still be paying it. And win or lose, and I think it's going to lose, de Blasio will have rode off into the sunset. Cuomo will have rode off into the sunset, and New York taxpayers, middle class, lower middle class, will still be paying the bill for this deal. And that's what I don't like about it.
Well, Assemblyman Lawler, congratulations. I think you were on the ballot this past November.
I won.
You won. Congratulations. That's what I want to say to you. Congratulations.
Yes. Damn
because
right he won.
It was, if not throughout the nation, it was definitely a blue wave here in New York State. The Republican Senate up there in Albany is now all Democrat, as is the Assembly. So you're in the minority, and the prospects for this state do not look good. The already highest tax state in the nation.
You're right. Everything that is wrong with New York is poised to get worse. the high cost of living, the involvement of the government in your health care is poised to get worse. There's no checks and balances now. So we've seen in the last 5 years, the Democrat Party has gone far, far left, whereas Obama didn't want to call himself a socialist. Now you have mainstream elected officials. They have no problem calling themselves socialists. And now here in Albany, they have all the power. I actually think Governor Cuomo is going to be forced to be the adult in the room and stop some of these far left ideas from coming to becoming law. But it's a sad state of affairs when my hope is that Governor Cuomo
yeah, right.
do the right thing and put the brakes on these crazy ideas. I mean, the one health care, the health care bill, single-payer health care, is the most outrageous bill you can imagine. Every other form of health care, except for the care you get from New York State, would be outlawed. If you currently have Medicare, you can't have that anymore. You have to get New York care. If you go to the VA, you can't have that anymore. If you're in a union, you have a private employer,
that's
you
us.
Don't get that health care anymore. It's outrageous. You hear this? You can't call yourself a free people.
Karen, let me just hammer home the point to Sid. He's talking about this Medicare for All bill or this single-payer health care. We won't be able to avail ourselves of our health insurance from our union
yeah.
because of this bill that they want to shove through, and they have the votes to shove it through. Mm. They're going to take us off our health care bill, which is great, our union provides, and they're going to force us to go on this state-controlled health care disaster. We'll have to wait in lines, and it's going to be... So anyway, how do we... What's going to... What are we going to move out, Kieran?
Well, hundreds of thousands of people have done that in the last 10 years. I'm going down with the ship. You know, I'm a New Yorker. I'm going to fight this till the last, till I'm the last guy standing. And, you know, what we have to do is raise awareness about the dangers of this bill. Yeah, single payer, everybody gets health care, sounds great as a headline. But when you get down into the details, I'll give you a perfect example. My oldest daughter is 12 years old. She's had open heart surgery 4 times. Her cardiologist is in Boston, New York, since before she was born. Is the New York healthcare plan going to allow us to go to a doctor in Boston? I guarantee that it won't. And there's tens of thousands of New Yorkers in that specific situation, not to mention other horrible situations that will occur. We have to fight it. The best way is to inform people about it.
And you just did very sufficiently. Hey, listen, Assemblyman Kieran Lawler, a fresh voice of reason up there in Albany. I mean, people like you are dwindling rapidly up there, so keep up the good fight. And thanks for appearing on the Bernie and Sid Show to enlighten us on a lot of this nonsense.
No problem. You're right. You know, I always tell my wife, my only regret is there's only one me, you know?
There's only one what?
It's only one,
only one me.
Only one Kieran.
Yeah.
There's only one.
I like your humility.
Yes. Thank you, buddy. Excellent job as always. Nice having you on. All right. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. Fourth and final hour of Bernie and Sid on a Monday right after this.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
It only makes sense the Miss Universe pageant will air on Fox on December 16th from Bangkok, Thailand. Only makes sense.
I actually have a place in Bangkok.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
I really do. It's kind of fun.
I'm sure. This is one of the greatest rock and roll songs ever. Limelight by Rush on this Monday morning before Thanksgiving on the Bernie and Sid Show.
Do you remember what movie it's from?
It's not from a movie.
But when Paul Rudd and I Love You Man, it's so funny.
It may have been in that movie, but it's not from.
Right.
The movie didn't make it famous.
No.
They used it in the movie.
Right, there you have it. Hey, let's get to this election. Before we do, though, the Giants won again yesterday, and I have been a guy that has been critical of Eli Manning for years, dating back to a whole summer of Eli Manning talk when I was on FAN. I did 50 shows in 60 days back in the summer of 2014, and I was critical of Eli then. That was 4 years ago, and of course, he takes on two of the worst teams in football, and this Buccaneer defense is one of the worst ever, statistically. It's actually one of the worst ever, so he has two good games against two teams that have a combined record of 5-15 with two of the worst defenses you've seen in years. And now Eli Manning's great again. And Sid, you're an idiot. So let's see him do it against the Bears in 2 weeks, against Dallas in 3 weeks.
Let me ask you this question.
Yes.
And I have no dog in this hunt. I really don't care.
Yeah.
What if he does, he performs in a stellar fashion the rest of the season? Are you going to say, I was wrong and you guys were right?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
It still doesn't erase the fact that before this season, he hasn't made the playoffs in 5 out of 6 years.
Without any qualifiers?
No. If he does a good job against the Bears and Dallas, and he puts up these numbers, I will say...
He still hasn't won the...
No. You got it.
Oh, you will say that?
Yeah. But don't start yelling and screaming after the 49ers and the Buccaneers. Are you kidding me? I mean, the Buccaneers have the worst defense maybe ever. He had a great day. Barkley had a great day. Odell had a... They were supposed to do this against the good teams.
Right.
So the Bears are coming up. Dallas is coming up.
And we need them to lose. We need them to lose for the draft pick.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to Tim Brando about that yesterday. There really is no great college quarterback coming out. The best college quarterback is Tua at Alabama. He's not coming out yet. Well, the kid Herbert at Oregon is pretty good.
Okay, but still, what good does it do them to win? They lose out on a nice draft pick, and plus Loletta doesn't get a chance to iron out the kinks or whatever the hell he's got. He's got to practice. He's got to get out there and get some real NFL experience.
Maybe next year. I don't know. But anyway,
no, it's all messed up. It's all counterproductive to win.
It really is, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
Two good games against two really bad teams, and the Eli bands are thumping their chests, I should say.
Take it easy.
Calm down. Anyway, Rick Scott has won, thank God. Now, you said DeSantis, Gillum conceded this weekend?
Yes, I did say that, and he did. He did.
I was waiting to see that. I didn't see it anyway.
No, he was actually, I mean, after witnessing what that lady in Georgia who lost.
Stacey Abrams.
I mean, she was just the worst sore loser since Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton remains the worst sore loser in history. But this Stacey Abrams, on a lesser scale, she comes in a very close second.
Yeah.
And so Andrew Gillum went out in a classy way. He actually congratulated Ron DeSantis after, of course, retracting his own concession speech. He gave another concession speech. He called DeSantis, congratulated him. Didn't whine about racism or imply racism or any of this nonsense. Unlike the lady in Georgia,
right,
who just would not, she just wouldn't, she not a classy word out of her mouth. The one that Oprah went down in the campaign for, and Obama, by the
right.
way.
The one that I see women on the Upper West Side, wearing T-shirts, Stacey Abrams for governor.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
Yep. And they have no idea what she's about. No, of course, they have no stinking idea what she's about.
Black lady, Democrat. Those three things. Black lady, Democrat. She must be for me.
And then, you know, like I say, there wasn't even close. I mean, she lost by more than, I think, 2 percentage points, which is not close. But what was close was if he had gotten, this guy, Kemp, got 50.2%, which is 0.2%. Obviously, above 50%. Anything below 50% would have forced a runoff. So she was angry that she lost having this runoff by such a small margin. And that's why, thus the classless reaction and the disgraceful words she uttered yesterday on the State of the Union with Jake Tapper.
Yeah. Well, although Rick Scott and Bill Nelson, that was very close. That was very, very close.
It was close, yes. Yeah. But it was in the end, it was about 12,000 votes.
Yeah.
Still, you know, it wasn't hundreds.
You're telling me Brenda Snipes couldn't find 15,000 votes at an IHOP in Fort Lauderdale for the Democrats?
Well, apparently not.
Not only did she not do that, but thank God after like 2 decades of ruining every election because she wanted every Democrat to win, it's finally over for Brenda Snipes.
But give her enough time. You see, that's why the judge's decision to impose deadlines stopped her from being able to find those votes.
Right.
And what they were doing with those votes, too, very interestingly, they wanted to include people like her, and that's what they're doing in Georgia as well. If somebody voted for, say... if they voted for, in this case,
Kemp,
they voted for Gillum.
Gillum, okay.
They didn't vote for Rick Scott. Excuse me. They didn't vote for anybody else except Gillum.
Just Gillum, okay.
Just Gillum. And they didn't vote for Nelson.
Nelson.
Nelson's the guy.
Right.
They wanted to say, Nelson wanted to say, well, clearly they meant to vote because they were voting on the Democratic ticket. So you should be able, you should count that. They just, it was an oversight on their part. That's what they were trying to do, stuff like that.
Oh, boy.
Isn't that sneaky?
Yes.
That's what they want. That's what they were trying to do. And that's why you had to have judges and overseers and people watching and monitor them, because otherwise Brendan Snipes would say, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He voted for Gillum. He would have voted for Scott, too. I mean, Nelson, too.
Right. Well, the good news is she is done. We talked about this extensively last week. Jeb Bush hired her. Rick Scott was afraid to fire her because she's black and she's a female, and white people in this country, not me, by the way, but white people in this country are scared to death. I'm not. You know, I think the Rooney Rule is ridiculous. I think there are some great African-American coaches. I think Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh is a great African-American coach. But the fact that you have to interview a black guy when you have no intention of hiring him, like Willie Randolph went on 12 interviews, said we're not going to hire him, is a joke. It's actually insulting.
Yes, it is.
Right. So with that said, here is the actual report on Brenda Snipes down in Florida. It is over. We've got that here. Hang on.
Hanging on.
CBS 4 has confirmed embattled supervisor of elections Dr. Brenda Snipes plans to leave a role she's held for more than a decade.
It's a big operation, but there are some things that need to be tweaked on all sides.
Get out.
Yeah, you.
Yeah, she'll be getting a weekend show on MSNBC.
No doubt.
By the way.
Oh, you know what you see all the time on MSNBC? All the time.
Not Avenatti.
No. Chris Matthews last week. Your friend.
Who?
Your shining moment on the Bernie and Sid
show. Now you're
show.
Trying to embarrass me.
No, I'm serious. People loved you for it.
Oh, Omarosa.
Yes.
Yeah.
And by the way, I got to tell you, she looks beautiful.
She's very attractive lady.
And she sounds, forgetting about what she's talking about politically. We hate that.
She's smart.
She sounds great.
Listen,
she's actually a very good panelist.
And
I'm saying that.
Look, and she does what's best for Omarosa. And if you ask me, she believes in the whole Trump thing, and she believes in it. But she saw a path after they let her go to elevate herself, to take advantage of that moment by flipping. And she did. And we know she's like that just from her history on the Celebrity Apprentice. She's a sneak.
She was like a woman scorned, almost.
A liar, yes.
She felt like betrayed by him, like he was her boyfriend.
Oh, I'm saying she's good on TV. What do you got to kill her for? Well, it's a liar, a scumbag.
No, I didn't say scumbag. I did not say scumbag.
A gobbler.
Never said a whore. Never said scumbag. I'm just explaining to you.
So it's translating your thoughts.
Right. Omarosa.
I'm in his head, believe me.
No, listen.
Yes,
listen. I was a big Omarosa fan for a long time.
I remember. When she liked your boy Trump, and then when you don't like Trump anymore,
no, and I always
Bernie hates you.
She's a smart lady. I still say she's a smart lady.
Right.
And now I'm explaining to you the deviousness behind Omarosa. Mm-hmm.
Smart, devious lady.
She's a very smart, devious lady.
Right.
I felt this thrill going up my leg.
And these idiots to embrace her now, I mean, it just shows how stupid they are.
Oh, Chris Matthews loved her.
Yeah, of course. Loved her. And they loved Avenatti, too.
Yeah.
And now what?
I don't know. He says he's innocent. He's fine.
No, he says, the bitch hit me first.
Right.
My God.
I don't think he said the bitch.
You know what? You know what? here's your guy. Speaking of guys, your guy.
Oh, God, my guy.
David Muir.
I like
David,
him.
Yeah, I know you do. Yeah. And he's fine. He's harmless, innocuous enough, but very biased, just like all the others.
Yeah, I told you that he was.
Maybe not conspicuously so, but this is how he promotes the Avenatti segment. And this is like Friday night.
Yeah.
Michael Avenatti fires back. You know, that was one of his teases.
Uh-huh.
Michael Avenatti fires back.
Right.
And then he goes on to play those, I did not hit the woman, and I believe in women's rights. You know, he never quotes the witness that said, well, a witness to say that overheard Avenatti saying that she hit me first.
Right.
He didn't get into any of those gory details, because why would we? Why would we, if we support the guy, if we hate Trump, why would we want to mess up our little narrative? We were trying to help out Avenatti at this point, right? He fires back. It's not Michael Avenatti got arrested and he's defending himself or whatever it is. He fires back. I mean, if that doesn't signal support for a scumbag, a woman, a beater, allegedly, he does deserve due process, unlike what he did not give to Kavanaugh. I don't know what does.
No, I agree. But I know that's David Muir already. What he does is he has people like Cecilia Vega, you know, outside the White House. She does the dirty work. You know, he just kind of throws it out there. So he's not as conspicuous as Lester Holt, let's say. But he's the same guy. You're 100% right.
And they don't mention anything about the fact that he owes tens of millions of dollars. He screwed his partner out of millions of dollars.
They just kicked him out of his office, by the way.
He's a tax deadbeat.
Out of his fancy office in California, they just kicked him out.
Right. But why include those details in your story about Michael Avenatti, about what he was overheard saying by the witness?
All fair points, Bernie. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. You're funny. We'll take a short break. We're back right after this.
Your guy.
He's got a brand new bag.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news now.
We're pushing for Christmas trees to be up year-round without the decorations. That's at least my thing. Don't you think
we will have to pursue this at a later date. It's a very interesting conversation.
I'd like, yes,
and
at some point.
Juliet is a little strange.
Just figuring that out now? God, you have no idea. My husband, my poor husband.
But it's a nice thing.
All right. Comedian and actress Amy Schumer is cracking fans up again after a miserable couple of days last week. We were just talking with Jill about this. The 37-year-old had to cancel a bunch of shows this past weekend in Texas, or past week in Texas. She was in the hospital for hypermesis gravidrome.
It's horrible. I puked for 18 hours a day, basically.
I mean, I guess I'm glad I never had kids. Yeah. Basically, yeah, it's the severe nausea, vomiting constantly, yeah. She was back on stage, though, at the NJPAC, Pack Theater, on Sunday.
I get like that just thinking about Amy Schumer.
And a little drama during the opening monologue on SNL over the weekend. Steve Carell was back for his third hosting stint when all of a sudden audience members began shouting out questions about whether he'd reboot The Office. He said no, but then some familiar faces started standing up and popping in and chiming in, including Ellie Kemper, who played Secretary Erin Hansen. The unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt actress said she and the other castmates really need the dough, but, you know, Carell wasn't going for it, to which she responded,
"You're a jerk."
But it wasn't over. Ed Helms, who played salesman Andy Bernard, said he was definitely up for a reboot.
"I just don't think you understand how much money we're talking about. Like, you wouldn't have to do all those sad movies anymore."
And finally, Michael B. Jordan is a monster boxer in the movies and the star of Creed 2, now says he's ready to move from the celluloid ring to the real life ring.
"Like Roy Jones, bro.
Roy Jones?
Roy Jones, that's my dude, bro.
You think you can hold your own?
I feel like I can do my thing a little bit.
Yeah?
I can hold my thing. Right now, in his prime, nah, he'll probably knock my ass out. But like right now, I can do my thing."
I'm Juliet. That's entertainment.
Thank you, Jules. So we just decided here moments ago we're not coming to work on Wednesday. That was... came out of nowhere, but we're like, we're done. Well, tomorrow's our last day.
We haven't gotten the approval yet.
No, we don't need approval. Trust me.
I sent out the email.
The guy that has to approve it, by the way, is out all week.
That's true.
So what the hell is he going to say? They owe me about 90 days of vacation anyway, so we're off. We're done. We will do the show tomorrow, and then we'll see you in 2019.
I think Joe Crummy's going to come in.
I don't care who comes in. It could be Russ. It could be Juliet.
Doesn't matter.
It could be Dominic Carter.
No, it's going to be Russ and Juliet,
I don't care. Russ and Juliet are great. They did a great job Friday. They'll do it Wednesday.
Yes, they will.
So we got one more day. By the way, I am also, you know, my son is 9. He's going to be 10 on Thursday. I've talked about that anxiety. But he's still of the age where he likes, you know, cartoons, parades. So because I'm, and you too, Bernie, both of us, very, very famous.
I like cartoons.
So do I.
Oh, that.
Because we're both very, very famous.
Yes, oh, yes.
We get to do things that a lot of you guys listening right now just can't do. It's just the way it
is. So
just get over it. Don't worry about it. So, for example, I've got a friend with the NYPD, a good friend. And when I text him and say, "Hey, I'm taking Danielle, Ava, and Gabe to the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade," not only do I get in and get free bagels and coffee in Macy's that morning, but I sit front row.
Listen, folks, don't put me in the same category, please. I don't avail myself of these perks.
I do them all. That's why
Sid does.
That's great about living in New York. I could live in Boca if I didn't do that.
That's what makes Sid Sid. That's what makes you you.
That's right.
You got to do you.
Got to be me. So I have the opportunity to go in style, and I've done three parades already. No, Thanksgiving Day. I've done three. But I can't do it this week.
Well,
it's
listen,
too cold.
Of course, I was just going to say that. I mean, it's going to be like Nanook of the North. Who remembers Nanook of the North? Is that a good reference or
yes,
what?
Yes, absolutely.
That's like a Dennis Miller reference.
A little bit, yes.
That's from Mork and Mindy.
Kornheiser Miller, that's
like
right.
That's her point of reference is Mork and Mindy.
Nanu, right?
No, that's not the same thing.
That was Nanu, yes.
But Sidnu. Yes. Sidnu, so that's good enough for me.
That works. Nanook of the North is a great reference.
Yeah, it's going to be brutal.
Brutal. We were, 2 years ago, we were there. It was cold.
Right.
But this is supposed to be like, according to Bill Evans, ungodly cold.
The high is supposed to be 30 degrees. That's the high.
No good.
So it's going to be freezing. You know, it's going to be a little less than that. Windy.
Oh, no good.
It's, you, mean, can't, it's like you terrible can't just, weather. You can't sit there for 4 hours.
So I'm going to miss the new Mike Francesa float, which I'm upset about.
Yeah, or Governor Christie or Rosie O'Donnell.
Governor Christie in a beach chair.
The beach chair. That was a great answer I got the other day.
That is a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah, so it's terrible, but it'll be on TV.
I'll watch it on TV. I'm going to go to New
City. Really nice.
I will play football outside with my nephews. That's an annual thing.
Are you going to go to New City? Okay.
Right. We always play football.
Right. That's
we'll do that. And I'll get hurt because I'm old. And I'll limp back to the house. And my wife will be like, look at you, you asshole. You do the same thing every year. I'm like, I'm hurt. Could you be nice? Oh, that's how it goes.
No sympathy.
No sympathy.
No, but don't you tell her, look, I'm a star.
I tell her that. Right.
And she doesn't care.
She does care like every other Friday.
That's so funny.
1-800-848-WABC. We're coming back. You've only got 5 hours left until next week. So if you want to talk to Bernie and Sid, you better do it now.
Get the hell off the beach.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Wrapping things up on this Monday, it wouldn't be a Bernie and Sid show on ABC without some President Donald Trump controversy. The latest has it, of course, the Trump haters, the CNNs, the MSNBCs, seizing on it this morning, that Donald Trump said the Navy SEALs should have gotten to Osama bin Laden quicker, that he was critical of the Navy SEALs like he was of John McCain, that he wasn't a real hero because he got caught. The Navy SEALs, our friend Robert O'Neill, who, of course, is on this show all the time, he eventually put a bullet between bin Laden's eyes. Trump saying Navy SEALs took him too long. If they were really great, they would have gotten him faster. Well, you saw the whole thing, Bernie. What went down there?
Well, I honestly don't recall why the topic came up, but it did come up. And Trump said, look, we just should have called. He invoked Admiral McRaven's name, did Chris Wallace. He sat down for about a half hour with Chris Wallace. And for some reason, and I forget which, I wish we had the tape, he invoked, did Chris Wallace, Admiral McRaven, who was the head of the Navy SEALs at the time. And Trump said, well, look, McRaven criticized Trump for some reason. And he said, well, wouldn't it have been nicer if we had caught Osama bin Laden a lot earlier?
So was he taking a shot at Obama, his administration, McRaven?
It sounded more like a shot towards the Obama administration.
That's what I'm saying.
Because
right,
we give Pakistan all this money, $1.3 billion per year. And he was living out in the open in a big mansion. The guy's 7 feet tall. Trump didn't mention the 7 feet tall part. That's me. But he was. Why did it take till, you know, I think it was 2011.
Right.
Why did it take so long? And then he said that McRaven.
Well, Bush was looking for him too. Let's not forget before Obama, Bush was also looking for him.
McRaven was. He said McRaven was a Hillary and an Obama supporter. And it turns out that he didn't endorse either one, but he was considered for a time as a running mate for Hillary Clinton back in, the last election.
Instead of Tim Kaine?
Instead of Tim Kaine. They considered Admiral McRaven, so he does lean to the left, and he has been critical of the president at times, though he did give a great speech at the University of Texas. I believe he's the... He's now like whatever, you know, the head guy there at University of Texas.
Dean, I remember that speech now that you bring that up.
That speech about that, yeah. It starts out with make your bed. Get up and make your bed in the morning.
Oh, yeah. I remember. We played that.
Yeah, we played it. It was a great speech. So so there you have it.
I never make the bed.
Make you funny.
Well, why not? When you leave the motel, just let the lady do it.
That's right.
That's what you leave a $20 tip for.
$20? Are you nuts?
Or a $10 tip.
$20?
I left $20 at the Hilton Garden Inn a Thursday night.
Wow, that's way too generous. I'll leave $20 if I stay for 3 or 4 days. If I'm there for one night or $2. Short stay, you get nothing.
$2.
You get a condom wrapper.
Come on. You were just talking about, hey, I'm Sid Rosenberg. I'm a big star.
That's right.
And you leave $2 for the cleaning lady?
Well, I'm a big star, but I don't get paid like I'm Miss Princessa.
You got, you know, puddles of this and that in your stinking mattress.
What?
And you leave a $2?
That's it. Maybe three. Awful. It's whatever. It's whatever. How many singles?
It's
got to
be
have.
At least $10
for what?
Even for I left that Thursday night.
Yeah. Well, that's too much money.
You know, I was feeling very philanthropic that night after the Teddy Atlas Foundation
that's
dinner.
Why? Right.
I had that spirit in me.
Right.
I saw all the good things that Teddy did, and I'm thinking the least I can do. And I didn't even sleep over. I just took a nap there that afternoon.
Yeah.
The least I can do is be overly generous with the cleaning staff.
But you made a good point. It was because of the night, Teddy Atlas, the love that was showed, all that.
But
that.
I always do. I always,
well,
at least.
$10 is way too much money.
At least $10.
I better wash my ass by the time I before I leave my room for that.
That's, come on.
$10.
Do you tip the people?
Now, take it easy.
Listen, I'm the best.
No, at the deli.
Ask
or Dunkin' Donuts.
I would leave a tip morning at Dunkin' Donuts.
You stay at a $300 room per night hotel.
Yeah, you got $3 or $4. I'm like, listen, in the old days.
That's wrong.
In the old days, when I used to get really hammered, and I would leave, you know, bottles laying around, mirrors laying around, you may have found a rolled up 20.
But not intentionally, obviously.
Sometimes intentionally. If there was like blood on it or something.
This is terrible.
I know, it's awful.
Oh, you could write a book, another one.
No, I don't want to. No, thanks. Let Bernie write his. He's got those stories too, trust me.
Yep.
He's got as many as I do.
Well, listen, we could write a
book. Except he had hundreds back then. It wasn't 20s.
We could write a book together.
We can?
I guess.
Nobody wants. No, no, no. No, no. We're not going to do that.
You probably get sued by Imus.
Oh, no, that book, too. Oh, yeah, I was going to read the tribute Imus gave me last year. I'm not going
to
do that.
You showed it to me. It was very nice. It was very nice. Except for that one part where he blamed you. Anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. He actually does blame him for something the tribute.
He blames me for something. I don't know. I just let bygones be bygones.
Yeah.
I mean, at a nice event where I'm getting an award.
Yeah.
To put that in a tribute.
It was stupid.
Stupid. It's very telling.
Oh, of course.
Very telling of a lot of things.
You know, that night, Thursday night, Teddy got screwed. Thousands supposed to show up, 300 show up. And you guys were great that did show up. Great. But a lot of people couldn't make it. The same night, you know, they had the Radio Hall of Fame dinner in Midtown. Joan Hamburg got in last week.
That's right.
Jim Kerr.
Mark Levin.
Mark Levin, Kid Kelly, a whole bunch of others. And Schwab was telling me they also had like one quarter of the crowd. That it was terrible, basically.
Oh, yeah. I would imagine, sure. Yeah. Night to the city's paralyzed. Yeah, a lot of people decide, I'm not going anywhere.
The night before was perfect. Friday night was perfect.
It just could not have come.
That night.
It was like, you know, hitting the lottery in reverse.
Yeah.
Like getting struck by lightning.
Oh, that's a great song. Little Elton John. Eugene, baby. This is nice.
You know, you really should have played Going Out. White Lines.
Yeah, that's funny. Right, you could have done that.
I mean, what are we doing? Sid's talking about bloody 20s. Rolled up bloody 20s.
That's all right. This is better.
And you're playing this crap?
No, this is great. It's Elton John. It's fine. We made the point about the 20s. We're moving on. I may have left 100 once at the Golden Gate Motor Inn.
Bad choice, guys. Bad
in Brooklyn.
Choice.
Or the Windjammer in Sheepshead Bay. I don't remember.
There used to be, in my day, the Yonkers Motor Inn on Yonkers Avenue.
It's gone?
No, it's still there. They just call it something else.
Oh, the Q Motor Inn was a very popular spot in Queens. You know that one, of course. Yeah, Howard Johnson's here in the city.
Yep, nice mirrors.
That's where you met Jill.
What?
Please.
All right. Tomorrow's the last day for us. We are now taking off Wednesday, too. So you get Ross and Juliet Wednesday, Thursday, Thanksgiving. So tomorrow's going to be a big show. Who's coming on tomorrow, Jill?
Tomorrow, so far, we have Bo Dietl coming in. We have Arthur Idala coming in. And Joan Hamburg is coming in. And we'll see what happens.
Joan Hamburg.
Well, she has the big event. You know, the big...
Yeah, she has a big event to promote.
Wow.
White Lines.
Speaking of...
White Lines?
White Lines.
Don't tell me there was a time when Hamburg... I don't know.
And messy mattresses.
And hotel rooms.
Joan Hamburg, baby.
I don't see it.
The queen.
Could you imagine if there was like a old grainy 70s video of Joan Hamburg and John Batchelor?
Hodge.
Right.
At the Windjammer in Sheepshead Bay.
I can imagine. Listen, they were young at one point.
He wore a bow tie when he was young.
The guy was a football player when he was young.
He was, yes.
And she was a beautiful woman.
She was.
People forget. Old people used to be attractive.
Everybody
Most
has
of
fun.
Them. A lot of them.
Yeah.
Everybody has a good time. And they could easily have rolled tape on it. My white lies, they go a long way. Those all through your veins. Game, but killing your brain.
First time I was ever on radio, I called into the Kingsborough Community College radio station on a Saturday night. First, before I even called Mike and the Mad Dog, I said from Brooklyn. And they used to have call-in Saturday nights, and I requested this song. I was about an eight ball in. I'm not kidding you. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm on the radio.
Baby.
That's me. And I requested this song. And I even said, I'm like, hey, we're having a party in Brooklyn. Yeah. Anyway.
This is like Bruce Springsteen's Born in America.
Born in the USA?
Born in the USA. It sounds like it's pro-America, but it's not.
Right.
Same with this. It sounds like it's pro-blow, but it's actually...
Not. No.
However, I don't care what they say. It makes me... It makes my nose itch.
Are we wrapping it up here? That's it?
Let me get some, baby.
All right, everybody.
Don't bogart that line.
Get ready for the
For Bernie, for Sid, for Jill, for Matt, for Juliet.
Baby.
And all of you, until 6 a.m. tomorrow morning here on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. Peace!